Blog Talk Radio.
I hope y'all had a wonderful Juneteenth. It's been a really good weekend. We got so much to talk about. I don't know. You know how you guys always start off with my week. My week was good. My weekend was good. I'm trying to think what I did. I went out to this place to eat this weekend. It was really good. Did lots of, you know, busy, and that's why I didn't come on for y'all. I'm sorry, and I apologize ahead of time. Don't be mad at me. You know, we'll get it together, okay? we'll get a set time together for y'all, okay? But you know how I be coming on. I be coming on sporadically in these streets. That's just how I do, all right? All right, so did get to see. Okay, there's two shows I'm watching right now while I'm on, you know, right now that's really like, Is it two shows? I think I started watching another show, but I can't remember what it is right now. Okay, the two shows I'm watching are From, which is on MGM, and it's really good. It's about this, I told y'all about this, it's about this town, and people are stuck in this town, and they can't go outside at night because if they go outside at night, they'll be attacked by monsters. This is their second season. Really good show. I really like it. The only thing is, like, the only thing I hate about it is that I feel like this is the second season, and we really need, right by now, we should know more about the history of the town. I really feel like these type of shows, like, where they stuck in time, like, these people, like, it's like Wayward Pines, right? If you ever saw Wayward Pines back in a few, maybe about five summers ago, there was a show on starring Terrence Howard, and people got stuck in this town and could not get out, right? And they couldn't go out into the woods because out into the woods live monsters, right? They could only go to a certain point. Well, From is sort of like that premises too. But to me, what I hate about these type of shows, except for Wayward Pines did not take long to tell you the background of the show. I think it was supposed to be some sort of something happened on Earth. They got stuck in this town, you know, and they couldn't go out further, so they thought, or whatever. Need certain people have been bound to this town to stay the town. But with From, you, it's people who like they drove into a place and they couldn't get out, right? So it's taking too long for them to tell me why. Like, tell me what's going on. You can tell the background of something in history of something without solving the puzzle right away. So I feel like they haven't done that yet. So I'm watching that. That's what I've been watching. I've been watching From. That's one of my TV shows. Of course, y'all know I have been watching The Idol, right? Oh, my God. Woo! The Idol, to me, got better. y'all hate the idol, but I love the idol. Some of y'all hate it out there, but I actually really like it. And let me see, I'm trying to pull up for y'all, like, what they talked about this week, okay? It was really good, okay. The idol, let me see if they have the, there was a part, okay, so this week with the idol, okay, so this week, you know, your guy has moved in, your Tedros guy, who is this character, he's moved in on Jocelyn, he's kind of taken over her thing. It's a lot of sex again, and he's really kind of seducing Jocelyn with the sex. I actually understand what they're trying to do here. I don't know why people, maybe it's just me, I don't know, but I get it. And he's starting to really take over her life in terms of music. But listen, here's the thing. What I thought was interesting about the idol. I thought the interesting part was, let me see, I'm trying to find this part I want y'all to hear. Dinner, oh, God, do I got it up? It's the dinner scene in Idol, because I feel like we talked about last week. I talked about a couple weeks ago, or last week or a couple weeks ago, I talked about when Deemson Idris, I don't know if I said his name right, talked about that he felt like he was, you know, he had to channel the devil to play Franklin Saint. And I said, hey, you didn't really channel the devil. You channeled legions or something like that, because the devil likes to play, likes to be pretty. He likes, even though the devil is evil, he usually comes as the angel of light and stuff like that. He doesn't usually like to come in his form, right? So I thought this, it was a wonderful scene at the dinner table in Idol this week. Oh, my God, I don't even know if I can, like, if anybody has it. I don't know. Okay, this is loud. Sorry, you guys. I don't even know if I have, I can pull it up. But he's at the dinner table, and he's talking to her, because all the things that have happened in her life, losing her mother and stuff, we get more of a background about Jocelyn and why she's distracted and why she's so messed up, you know, with the music business. We find that her mother was abusive, and that was part of the way she got Jocelyn to focus on her craft. Is by, you know, usually beating her. And who brings this out at the dinner table? Tedros, okay? Now, Tedros plays this dark character, but he has to, listen, that's why I always tell people, the devil come with truth, but it's the tip. Like my old preacher used to say it down when I went to, ORU, I used to go to this church, and he said, It was the old preacher, my old preacher from my hometown, and he used to say, in rat poison, it's the 10% strychnine that'll kill you, not the 90% of the rest of it. And that's what it is about this Tedros character. So he comes in, he's saying good things, like he's asking, he's getting to the root of what is really wrong with her. What is really going on? And he's so highly manipulative. I wish I had that, the dinner scene from Idol. It's just such a good scene, I think. But, and I just can't find it. I'm trying to find that dinner scene. Oh, I think I may have it. I don't know. Let me see. Do we have it? I don't think I have it. Okay. Man, I don't know where the dinner scene is. I hate that I don't have the dinner scene. Okay, but during this scene, he's like, you know, he's asking her hard questions, right? And some of it's true, you know, like, you know, but it's the highly manipulative way he gets her to surrender herself and do everything. So it reminded me of this scene that I saw in the Idol this week, reminded me of in the Bible where Jesus is it's been out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and he goes to be tempted by the devil, and the devil's like, okay, you know what, I know you hungry out in these streets, Jesus, okay? So, you know, if you do this, I'll give you some bread, you know, I'll give you something to eat, you can have all the food you want or whatever. And Jesus is like, you know, it's written, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he's like, well, you know what, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world and everything if you just throw yourself off this rock and let the angels catch you. Because the angels, you're supposed to be God in here, you're supposed to be God on earth, right? So the angels going to come get you if you jump yourself off this rock. And Jesus is like, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, exactly. You shouldn't tempt God. I mean, he was just, so, like, it wasn't that he wasn't saying anything that wasn't true to him. It was just the motive and the trick behind it. And so that's what I love this week, the scene in Idol. I thought it was so powerful. It was such a manipulative scene for her and for this celebrity who is going through all this stuff, and yet she's going through abuse, and she's lost her biggest motivation, who was not just the motivation in terms of in her life, in terms of, you know, her career, but she was a motivation in terms of she had to abuse her to motivate her. So in this scene, you see, like, Tedros, which is played by The Weeknd, he has all his homies because everybody comes in, and he's like, well, we don't do anything that we don't share with each other. He's like a cult leader, kind of like, you know what I'm saying? He brings them all around the table, and tells Jocelyn to bring her mom's brush, and at the end of the scene, he's spanking her and, like, telling her, you know, let it wash all over her and let it this and that. Oh, my God, it's so, the idol is so dark and crazy, but it's really psychologically deep in some ways to me, okay? I know some of y'all don't like it, but I thought the dinner scene was very good, very interesting. I wish I had audio. I'm looking on here, y'all, for the audio. Let me see if somebody got it. I'm trying to see. And somebody, because usually somebody, you know, they be having it out in the streets. But I can't, I don't know, usually sometimes people have it up. But child, okay, if y'all get a chance to watch Idol, watch that, particularly the dinner scene part. I thought it was pretty good, okay? Very good. I thought it was really interesting. And I thought it was a great way to sum up what we – oh, wait a minute. I think somebody does have it. Okay. Let me see if we got it. Do we have it? Y'all know I be being mad because I be thinking I have it. Let me see. Is this the one? Okay, I'm trying to find. Oh, my God. There's so many good scenes because I like the lines. I really like the story, the lines. But I'm trying to find it for y'all so we can do our end our review of this one. Let me see. Is this the one? Man, I cannot find it. I'm finding all these other things except for this great scene, the dinner scene, and it just makes me mad. Okay, it's so good, but y'all got to look at, wait a minute, oh, the Idol Theory.
The Idol just released on.
Okay, somebody's saying it's Tedros the Devil. Oh, which is interesting. Some people are thinking, like, you know, that, you know how people have, fans have theories and stuff like that. So I want to hear that one because people are saying that's one of the theories out here. It's like maybe he's a picture of what the devil is. So there are some fans out here. I totally connected on understanding that scene has Tedros to me looked like what Satan would really look like. And I said, that's channeling the devil. I mean, you don't got to channel the devil to play the joke. But to me, the character of if you've ever seen one of my favorite scenes in the world, I mean, in the movies, it's from The Devil's Advocate. And when he starts to tell him, you know, he starts to talk about when he does the thing at the end of The Devil's Advocate, you know, when he's trying to, when he's revealed to him who he is, and he's telling him he starts telling him about God and like why you know, he's like, God is a prankster. God likes to watch. You know, and he starts going into all these things that you, what makes you think, and then, you know, at the end, he's like, I'm a fan of man. Oh, my God, it's crazy. He said, I'm the only humanist left in this world. I mean, it's Satan to perfection, that scene. That scene is Satan to perfection. To me, one of the greatest scenes where someone is channeling what I feel is, I mean, not channeling, but it's embodying what I feel, what Satan would be like. I don't ever look at Satan even though he's very evil, I don't look at him as coming in an evil. The Bible says he comes as an angel of light, right? He was an angel, right? It was a beautiful thing, right? You know what the Bible says? His body played music. He was able to fool, you know, the Bible says a third of heaven came, like he tricked a third of the angels in heaven to roll with him, right? You know what I'm saying? So I never see that character has, Satan has just evil, beguiling. He's always beautiful. And I kind of see Tidros has that on the idol. Tidros has this very beautiful, and he's a psychologist, and he's reading into Jocelyn, and he's, oh my, and I love the dinner scene. It was just, I thought it was one of a great scene, okay? So if you guys haven't seen The Idol this week and you haven't got that dinner scene, I'm still trying to look, but y'all know me, I can't find it yet. Let me see The Idol. I'm going to look it up real quick, see if I can find it one more time. Okay, because usually somebody has it, but let me see. Okay. Well, we'll look at, you know what, I'll tell you what. Let me see, is there, okay, they, in the wrap, they have an article that I think is pretty good. It says 9 most shocking scenes from Idol episode thing 3, and it says if there's one thing, this from wrap.com, it says if there's one thing the Idol is known for by its third episode, it's shocking viewers with racy sex scenes filled with almost nude Lily Rose Depp, who plays rebounding pop star Jocelyn, alongside arguably cringy lines from Abel, the weekend testifay, who plays nightclub owner Tidros, okay? While King's artists knew what to expect from the first two episodes of the music drama finally premiered at the festival, which debuted to scandalized reaction, the escalating events of episode 3 took many viewers by surprise. The Idol, which was co-created by testifay, Euphoria creator Sam Levinson. And listen, I don't believe, let me just say this, Cannes Film Festival and all these people who didn't see this show, these people, I believe this show is getting canned, because I told y'all, when I see a bunch of bad reviews like this and I'm surprisingly liking the show, it reminded me of what happened at that NFL show years ago, because it was too close to truth. And I feel like this is so close to somewhat of what the music business can be like for people, that they don't want this kind of stuff out. It's like too close. I mean, they do a hell of a job of creating the atmosphere, in my personal opinion. But it says 7 most shocking moments from the from this story is when Tidros, he has sex with Jocelyn in a convertible while Leah's driving. Tidros gets intimidated by a Valentino retail associate. Tidros puts pressure on Jocelyn to fire her employee for commenting on her body. Tidros pleasures himself in the Valentino store, and then they said Jocelyn and Tidros. See, that's another thing Tidros does. He introduces her to like a new way of living, like a new life, a new thing or something like that in some ways. So, and a very risque thing, okay? But it says Diane takes center stage, which is the girl who's they're getting to kind of replace her. She doesn't know it. And then Jocelyn reveals her mother's used to abuse her using a hairbrush. Tedros instructs Jocelyn to get the hairbrush and used it on her. After hearing Jocelyn's heartbreaking story that brought many of their friends to tears, Tedros tells Jocelyn to go get the hairbrush, assuring her that working through the pain will lead to a better end result. While Livingston and Testafay spared us from fully experiencing what happened, it's clear Tedros used the hairbrush in a similar manner as mother before eventually bathing Jocelyn. By the end, Jocelyn whispers the most shocking words we could expect after the scene. Thank you for taking care of me. Okay, so listen, that's why I'm saying what he got her to do at that table. I wish I had the scene. What he got her to do at that dinner table was to expose herself to him in such a way that he now knows her motivations. He now knows he knows that when he experiences sex with her, he's not only just experiencing a sexual free energy, but he's also experiencing a woman with lots of sexual trauma. And I don't think Tedros is there to heal. It seems like it, but I think Tedros by the end of this is going to inflict more trauma and damage to this character, Jocelyn, than we could ever imagine, okay? So, y'all got to watch it, The Idol. That's my take on it for this week and for three, okay? I like The Idol. Y'all, I don't care what y'all say. I think it's really good. I think they did a hell of a job, my damn self, okay? All right. It is Juneteenth today, so everybody is celebrating Juneteenth. Juneteenth became a national holiday years back. I grew up in the Midwest in Kansas City. Kansas City was the second largest Juneteenth celebration in the United States. It wasn't hardly this one, only people, Texas and Kansas City and a few other places celebrated Juneteenth, right? And Juneteenth in Kansas City used to always be big. They used to have it down 18 to Vine. They have concerts, all kind of stuff. Because it celebrated not just the end of slavery, but from Galveston, Texas, but celebrating the end of slavery, just period, okay? But I might have to tell y'all, my personal opinion now is that, here's the thing. I think sometimes when people listen to this show, they think, Carlotta, are you anti-globalist? And I'm like, no, I'm not anti-globalist when each person can hold their own sovereignty, when each group can hold their own sense of worth and sense of being, and people celebrate groups and ethnicities and cultures. Individually and together. You know what I'm saying? However, to me, globalism today has become such a thing that it's become an erasure to some cultures. And whereas first, America was used in the forefront to bring, America had Hollywood. And like I always tell this story on here, Black Americans and the way that we lived, that doesn't mean there wasn't other groups here, but it's just the Black American in our culture. A lot of groups immersed, even if you were part of the diaspora and you were here post-1965, most black people from the diaspora immersed themselves in Black American culture because it was the dominant culture, right? And that culture, Black America, went out throughout the airwaves, and a lot of people admired the Black American lifestyle throughout the diaspora. That is facts, okay? No matter what y'all try to lie nowadays and say or whatever. And I've talked about this several times on here. However, we've stepped into this new age of what I call globalism. And with globalism comes so many things, okay? But it's also an erasure. It tries to erase sovereignty in countries and sometimes in selling culture. And you can kind of see that happening a lot because a lot of corporations are into this because they want more customers and consumers. So what we're seeing is an erasure. Like Juneteenth is becoming not a celebration of Black American culture and what the Black American slave went through and stuff like that. It is now becoming something else, like commercials, all kinds of stuff. Like I saw the most ridiculous thing just now, and I knew it. I said to my husband, I was talking to him, and I said they were showing Beyonce, you know, talking about she is Juneteenth. In honor of Juneteenth, I wore all black designers. She wore all black designers in honor of Juneteenth. Okay, now Juneteenth is about the Black American slave experience. Okay, and so it is about Black Americans. And culturally, Black traditional America's ADOS, whatever you want to call it, FBA, whatever, okay? This is from RonsoSnitch.com. It says, Houston native Beyonce honors Juneteenth by wearing all black designers for her show in Amsterdam. Now, I said to my husband, I said, you know what? I bet none of them are American. He's like, what? I was like, I bet. He's like, nah, surely, because, you know, it's a black American. I'm like, I'm telling you what I know, because I know how the way this thing is spinning. Okay, this is from Beyonce. In honor of Juneteenth, everything I wore for Renaissance World 2 tonight was created exclusively by black designers. Okay, what does that mean? Because you're celebrating something that happened to African Americans. Slavery happened throughout the diaspora, but we're celebrating Juneteenth, and we're celebrating the Black American experience and freedom from slavery. And the Black American experience was very different from other the slave trade experiences, okay? In America was introduced race and all kind of other things, okay? And it was hard. So a lot of times I think a lot of these celebrities, they're so slow, and no offense to them, they're behind because like I say, a lot of them reside in bubbles. So, and they reside, they hear everything in terms of what the Democratic Party, who is the big party nowadays, you know, through a lot of black people work through, tells them what's going on politically, right? And so as I looked, you know, at the designers, somebody put this is from BZ fan account. It says, Beyonce in custom Phoebean to honor Juneteenth by wearing all black designers at the Renaissance World Tour in Amsterdam on 6/18/23. Phoebean, black people, black celebrities, when I really get through, I'm just, oh, God, I want them to be smart, but some of them are not. And I'm not saying Beyonce is not. It's just like they don't think. I don't blame Beyonce. I blame her team. Because she's too busy dancing and singing to see what the fuck is like. It don't make no sense what she's doing. And it didn't make no sense for a lot of us as black America to be doing this either. Because we didn't have an understanding black America wanted it so bad at one time to through Pan-Africanism, connect to Africa in some ways. And we didn't understand truly what Africa was. Africa's 59 countries, all very different. And how they think of us, which is very different. They don't think of us. Most of them don't see us as Africans. You know what I'm saying? You're American, even though your people came from that continent somewhere. You have evolved into something else. You've been away for centuries. So, Phoebean is an Ethiopian heritage born in North Korea and grew up in refugee camps in Sweden and is now making her mark on London fashion. So, I want to get this. So the continent where the slave trade, who participated in the slave trade, okay, because Africans participated, let's get real, Africans participated in the slave trade, you are grabbing designers, and it's nothing with honoring black people around the world, okay? But I'm just trying to get this. We're talking about the black African-American slave trade and what happened in the slave trade. You're not finding black designers in America who have the history of slavery in America. You're going to Ethiopia. Africans who were a part of the slave trade, not all at Ethiopia, not everybody, but a lot of Africans, different ones a part of the slave trade. And that's who you are saying, this is how I'm celebrating Juneteenth, by wearing this designer. And just because the designer is black, it has nothing to do with the lineage of Juneteenth. And it has nothing to do with the struggle of black Americans. What are you doing? This is ridiculous. It's absolutely, it's just like, okay, it's just, I understand why I didn't dye her hair, okay, because I see Beyonce. Beyonce all over, I don't know where she at. I don't even know she there at Renaissance. Beyonce, are you at Renaissance? Because every time I see her, I mean, she look like she there, but she kind of look like she not. That's why Blue Ivy out there dancing. She's trying to take up the flag. Shout out to Blue Ivy. In her clothes, she seamlessly blends tarot cards imagery over text as if torn from the story of the eye by George Bataille and Greek mythological figures with the works of Salvador Dali. Phoebean on being a black woman in fashion. Has an Ethiopian woman who grew up in Sweden. It is always going to be political for me to be in a room because I'm a black woman. I feel obliged to speak on things. Otherwise, things will never change. Her experience is nothing like the black American. Beyonce, are you and your people crazy? This has nothing to do with Juneteenth. An Ethiopian woman does not have the same experience as black American women. They don't even have the history of slavery. Some in Africa do, but it was on continent slavery. Are you serious? This has nothing to do with Juneteenth. What is you talking about? You're honoring Juneteenth. How are you honoring Juneteenth? You're not honoring. That's not a black designer. That's not a black American designer. That's not a foundational black American designer. You guys are trying to sell globalism. You're trying to check. Pretty soon we're not going to even know the meaning of Juneteenth. Pretty soon, Juneteenth is going to be an opportunity. People are going to be saying, it's black businesses all down here. And you're not going to see black Americans to see how far they come from. You're going to look, it's going to be other lineages there. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's going to be them representing, and it's going to be like, look how far black people have come. But it wasn't all black people enslaved in America. The story of America in the diaspora, in this part of the diaspora, is the story of foundational black American, or they ate out American descendants of slaves. Chad, I don't know, because I don't want to be offending nobody, so I just say all y'all names y'all give. Foundation, I say traditional black America. It's a story of traditional black America. And it's a story that shouldn't be forgotten. And it's a story that shouldn't be merged with anybody else. I wouldn't dare merge. Like I always talk about Haiti, I wouldn't dare merge the Haitian, them becoming the first black republic and merge that celebration with other people, sprinkling other people's stuff on it and ignoring the people who did it. That's right. That's crazy. This is nutty. It is black Americans are being ate off of and merged into, only for other people to separate when they're good to do it. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm black. We all black. But then next thing you know, you see them waving their other country flags when they want to be separate or when they want to move in a different direction. And here's Beyonce, a black American, thinking she's celebrating Juneteenth by wearing an Ethiopian woman's clothes. I don't understand. I'm not understanding. What are you doing? Are we gone? Are we so? Wow. That it. so stupid because that has nothing to do with Juneteenth. And you're not honoring Juneteenth. You're honoring, this is not a globalist, we're talking about how far Black Americans have come. And so in honor of Juneteenth, I would think you would have on a Black American, not somebody who had didn't have anything to do with Black American slavery. And then there was other, let me see if I can pull it. It was other designers she had, too. Do I got it up here? Beyonce channels Robo Couture in a custom silver armored Balmain bodysuit by O. Rusting for I'm That Girl to celebrate Juneteenth during last night's performance, wearing exclusively all-black designers at Renaissance World Tour. Okay. Beyonce in custom at Off-White by Kamara, inspired by FW23 collection Lunar Delivery, conceptualized through his take of intergalactic travel and design at the Renaissance World Tour in Amsterdam last night. Okay, let's see. Who is this style by? Style by Shanat T. Let's see. This is a different one. Okay. Shanar Tarini, who is not Black American. Again, another person, not Black American. She's celebrating Juneteenth. I don't believe this is, okay, see what I'm talking about? That's why y'all got to look closer, okay? Because these people, be trying to sell us, because it's important. You say, well, we're all Black, Carlotta. I don't understand the thing. No, because this is your experience in America. Ethiopians have a very different experience in the world with race and things than the Black American does. And the Black American has experienced slavery and Jim Crow and all kinds of things. So our lineage is different from an Ethiopian's, and when you're talking about celebrating the freedom of Black Americans from Black American slavery, I find it strange that you're going to get people from the from a continent that helped enslave Black Americans instead of going to Black American designers and say, okay, this is time for me to use some Black American designers and show the works of the people, the lineage in the group I grew up with. It's just wild to me that she's saying she's honoring Juneteenth, and she's using mostly non-Black American designers. She's not honoring Juneteenth. If it was Global Black American Black People Day, then I'd say okay, she has some Black, you know, different people. But this is, she's saying she's honoring Juneteenth. This is wild, crazy. Okay, so let me get this other or designer up, because I want to make sure I didn't miss anybody, the ones they were saying. Beyonce in custom at Ferragamo flagship red dress by Maximilian Davis to open Renaissance World Tour in Amsterdam last night to honor Juneteenth, wearing all Black designers. Okay, again, it's a Shanoa T. It looks like she the only Black designer that was there was her old tired Black Ivy Park, which was her. Okay, listen, that's crazy, Beyonce. It's crazy. You're not celebrating Juneteenth. And celebrities, please get this. Juneteenth, it's the Black American experience, and it's the Black American story. And you honor the heritage by wearing Black American designers to show our story and how far we've come. It's no offense to anybody else in the diaspora, but it just doesn't make sense that you're telling me you're honoring Juneteenth by having on somebody's outfit that isn't even a part of the heritage of Juneteenth. That's ridiculous. That's dumb. That's like if you got out there and said, I'm honoring Juneteenth, and you got on, like, white designers. people are like, okay, well, wait a minute. What does that say about our lineage? The diaspora is the same thing. Because these are people who are, you're talking about a Black American holiday that celebrates the freedom of the Black American slave from slavery, and you're wearing designers from all over the globe except for Black America. It's wild. I don't get it. I don't get it. Sorry, y'all. Don't. Ridiculous. And that's all, this is the part of globalism. It's almost an erasure. It's almost this idea of what I call putting black face in front, but to hide the problems of Black America. It's like, okay, we're going to put up any face to show, any, just as long as it's black face, to show that black people in America are making it. Look. Look, I got an Ethiopian designer. See, we look out for our black people come. But it's not about black people throughout the diaspora. It's about black people in America, specifically black people in America, because black people in America had an experience. The world got to see and experience the civil rights movement. And they were looking at the story of black America, who had been on the soil for centuries and centuries, who had been mistreated, who had families on the soil and stuff like that. We are not talking about Ethiopia or the Caribbean or anything. We're talking about the Black American experience, and you're wearing African designers to show, oh, look, I'm honoring Juneteenth. How? This shouldn't even make no sense to you and your people. Your people stupid. Y'all, what is y'all doing? Nobody else will notice it, but I just wanted to tell it because a lot of times black people be like, oh, that's African. But sometimes we as black Americans don't connect it because we've been so welcoming to other people. We haven't set boundaries about our experience and our lineage. And so what you'll have in black America sometimes, you'll have people on television, and they'll be talking about the black American experience, and you'll be sitting there like, that don't sound right, that kind of sounds strange, or whatever. And then you look at their background, and you'll be like, oh, wait a minute, they family only been here a generation or two generations, but they only are talking about the black American experience as if it is theirs. Like if I go over to Haiti and start talking about the Haitian, but I'm like, when we went in the Republic, when we formed the first Black Republic, and Black Americans coming over, just to say it's a bunch of Black Americans moving to Haiti, and we all of a sudden starting just to cover, we all of a sudden to take over, we start taking over the heritage like it's our heritage, or we move to Jamaica and start taking over the culture like it's ours. That's crazy. Only we let that happen. So we be at a disconnect. It be people talking about an experience that they don't really know much about, or they don't understand, or they only understand from a perspective of living in America and knowing black Americans from a distance, or maybe going to visit their houses every now and then or something like that. But it's just not the same. And I just hate this because I'm like, what, you did not get it tonight? Which one of your people did not get that you should have had a black designer, a black American designer, and that's all you should have had for that particular date? Crazy. If you was going to call yourself Celebrate, that's wild. All right, so I had to say something about that because I just felt like, I don't mind. It's nothing wrong with people from the diaspora and all of us coming together to celebrate and love the moment of love on moments from Black America. There are certain celebrations black people like to participate that happen in the Caribbean. Like, people like to participate in Carnival and all kind of stuff. But it's your celebration. I respect that. Okay? Or people like to celebrate, certain things that happen or something like that. Get it. Nothing wrong with other black people celebrating what has happened in black America. But there is a problem when we act like we are that and we're not. It's just crazy, okay? So, I just, it ticked me off, okay? Okay, and then also something else I saw here about Juneteenth and I wanted to talk about. Oh, my God, it was really something I saw, and I was like, you know what? That is crazy. Must it just Beyonce? It is, it's Candace Owens, okay? Candace Owens, another person who is from, Candace Owens is from the Virgin Islands. Which is a black American, American territory, because remember, America has two territories, Puerto Rico and of the Virgin Islands, but it is not, you know, considered inland America. You know what I'm saying, okay? So Candace is a person of, you know, of like what people would probably consider Caribbean descent, okay? So Candace Owens always acts, she has a vitriol, and even though, listen, most black people agree with Candace on some things she says. It's not like Candace don't be saying some things where we be like, all right, that, you know, I can get with that, I don't like you, but I can get with that, because you don't got no empathy or sympathy. It's like somebody telling you something, but they being mean about it and stuff like that, and are trying to down you or something. It doesn't mean that she doesn't have any points every now and then, but sometimes this chick is just hateful and ugly, and she's so busy trying to please her. She's so busy trying to please the racist in America. You know what I'm saying? It's just really crazy. She's it's nuts. But she said today, Juneteenth, listen to her, is still ghetto and made up. Hope everyone enjoys it. First of all, she says it's ghetto. I hate, you know, sometimes even with, listen, I hate when people sometimes say stuff that call stuff ghetto and they don't really understand what, because there were such, listen, growing up in the hood in the 70s and the 80s, it was some beautiful things about the ghetto, okay? So sometimes y'all be saying shit that's ghetto. I would be like, what are you trying to say here? It was some beautiful stuff about the ghetto. I remember my family's having get-togethers at parties, and people loving on each other. They didn't have much of money. People could be kids dancing, singing, being creative. It was one of our most creative times as black Americans, probably that's from that 1950s to early 90s. it was a beautiful time to be black, especially in the 70s. And, hey, oh, my God, ain't nothing like it. Oh, Lord, I said black Americans, we was at our peak. I wish we was as beautiful as we was and creative. And it was a lot more of a harder time. But, oh, my God, it was beautiful. Like, except until that crack bomb went off. You know, that crack bomb. Ooh, they got us with that crack bomb. But listen, but it was just a beautiful, beautiful time in black America. I mean, I can remember, like, my great-grandparents and people having get-togethers and barbecue, people having hanging out with my grandparents on my dad's side. I can remember people, everybody having parties and talking at me. It was just a different, playing music, cross-generational. People had regular phones. The phone was ringing. The phone was busy. You couldn't talk to somebody. The phone was busy. Oh, it was a different time. Cartoons would come on Saturday morning. Grown folks would tell you to go in the kids, to go over there, the kids stuff. You get to play. I mean, child, it was a whole nother time. It was just a beautiful. Oh, my God. I miss it. Okay? So that's what she mean by ghetto. Okay, that was beautiful, okay? And I love what Yvette Carnell said to her on Twitter. She said, all holidays are made up. We create them as a way of honoring our values, heritage, and creating community. You think all conservatives would love a holiday based on freedom and liberty. You'd be wrong, okay? Shout out to Yvette Carnell, because Yvette was on there. Yvette was on her, okay? And that's true. Oh, what are you talking about? Christmas is made up, girl. And the situation wasn't made up. That actually happened. okay, and some people would say slavery went on longer than 1865 because of the situation of black people not having nowhere to go, not having no money, sometimes being hired back as sharecroppers for little pennies on the dollar for not hardly getting, they still wouldn't get paid. Some people still had to live on the slave quarters and stuff because they had nowhere to go. So shut up, girl. Shut up, dummy. And she know that. She ain't really a dummy. She just like to act like she a clown every now and then. She like to act like a clown for the conservatives over there that feed her the bull crap. Like Trump eventually even put her out at one time. You know, he didn't even want to do it. He was like, Would she be over there just a puppeteering and doing all kind of dumb stuff, okay? So this girl, so I don't pay no attention, okay? Even though I like some of the things she may say every now and then, she meant some things she say is smart. But she got such hatred and vitriol for black American people that, you know, I'm just like, girl, we could stomach you if you had care, if you had love, if you had some empathy and some sympathy. She said horrible things about black Americans, too. Just a horrible chick. Just makes me mad. And there's some things I like about Candace. I put up some things that Candace has said. I even follow Candace sometimes. I'm not against people who have a different idea than me. Okay? So, it's just the ugliness of her. She's ugly. Her attitude, her energy is, not her face, her energy, and how she expects to win. You can't expect to win nobody over with that kind of energy to conservatism. You look like a clown. It's just ridiculous, okay? So those are some of the things I wanted to get out the way, child, okay? Okay, so before I get that out the way, let me say this, okay? When I come back, we're going to start talking about Kamara and them. We're going to talk about Kamara, Russell Simmons, his kids. Boy, they was all on the internet today, child. They was having a family drama. Okay, I mean, I don't know what's going on. All the moguls having family drama. Because remember a couple of weeks ago, Diddy had the family drama, and Misa came for him, okay? And Kamara said, are we doing this? So Kamara was probably, when she was saying, are we doing this to Misa, she probably was saying, let me get in on my mogul, okay? Okay, so I was on one of my favorite shows on YouTube. I went on there to talk on a panel. Sherelle, I love Sherelle's World. She's one of my favorite shows, and she had a panel up. And I just forget, a lot of people were getting angry about Russell and saying, some people were on Russell's side, some people were on Kamara's side, but a lot of people were getting angry about Russell. People can't seem to separate Russell's alleged charges. Remember, we were joking about Russell for years in Bali. Remember when I told R. Kelly you need to go to Bali, get your ticket to Bali going? Right? People are angry about accusations that Russell had, and people can't seem to separate them. Also, people were talking about Russell dating Kamara when she was 17 and Russell was 35. And one of the things I said on this show is that people forget about the 90s because a lot of people, you know, people forget about the America, period, how America rose for many years, okay, in many centuries. And I'm going to repeat this again when I start to talk about this story. But in the 1930s, 1940s, when my grandmother was coming up, it was nothing for, and I'm not okaying pedophilia. I'm not okaying old men and dating young women or old women dating young men, okay? I'm just telling you what the time was like. In the 1950s and 40s and stuff, it was nothing for a young girl, 14, 13, 15 years old, to marry an old man. Her family to marry off to an old man with a farm and stuff like that. No, that's real shit, real talk, okay? That was happening all the time. Because at 14 in the 1950s, you was like a 25-year-old. Your life expectancy was running fast at those times. At those times, remember, we also didn't have child labor laws. Remember, a lot of kids was working outside the home, working hard labor. That's why as we evolved as a people in America, we put up child labor laws, and then we started evolving with children and saying, oh, maybe it ain't so good for a 14-year-old to be out here married to a 30-some-year-old at that time. But we can't get angry at the people in that time space because in that time space, people thought that might have been okay. Even though it was creepy, some people thought it was creepy, but they still did it a lot. Remember, even Elvis Presley, creepy, was had Priscilla Presley living with him at 13. Okay, allegedly. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what this is. Now, and people didn't make a big deal out of it. Now I talk about the 90s. The 90s, the 80s and the 90s was such a different time, okay, because it was the introduction of the crack era, and people forget, tend to forget how crazy the crack era was, okay? If you was 15 in the crack era, you was 19 in your head, okay? I've talked about this on the show, because you had to, if you especially was in them urban cities, in them urban places, because I remember being a young girl having, even being a part of my good girl little crowd, we still had to know the streets. Because we had to walk to school, we had to walk through some shit, we had to walk through some crazy people, we had to know some of the crazy people in the hood and stuff like that. You had to be street smart, okay? And that required you to be older in your mind, in your head. And then you were seeing all kind of stuff, people getting shot, crack people, crackheads walking down the street if you lived in urban areas in the 80s and stuff like that. You saw your neighborhoods change overnight. Not that it wasn't some stuff going on before in the black neighborhoods, but overnight across America, urban places became even more crazy. And young people were growing up faster. And in that coming age was the age of hip-hop, okay? And during that time, I was hanging around. When rappers would come to town, I'd meet rappers and all kind of stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you, it was tons of young women around. Remember, Belle Biv DeVoe even had a song. Remember the song, Backstage, Underage, Adolescence. How you doing? How she replied, I like to do the wild thing. Listen, honey, it's a lot of, even rock and rollers was talking about underage girls back in those days, okay, because it was a different time. It wasn't right. It was creepy, but it was a little bit more acceptable. I used to see girls, I remember when I was in high school, I used to know girls be 16 years old and 17 years old. Mama might have been strung out on some stuff or whatever like that. They like, girl, shoot, this bus driver like me, girl. Is driving a bus out there. I'm like, God, he's about 25. Yeah, girl, but I'm about to run this in. You know what I'm saying? These girls were 16, but in their head they was 20. I'm just telling. I told y'all this before. The crack era was a different time. I'm not saying it was right. I'm saying what it was. And so a lot of people got away with a lot of stuff, including Russell Dayton Kamara. Kamara was on TV. Everybody knew Russell run around there with Kamara, Lee Simmons. Kamara used to host that hip hop show. Y'all better stop it. Everybody knew. Okay, and it wasn't really, everybody's like, yeah, it's kind of bad. But 17 is legal in most states. I want to remind y'all that. Okay. Oh, yes, it is. And 16, too, in some states. In New York, they would have considered, it wasn't probably inappropriate, but they consider Kamara 17 legal. Okay, I'm telling y'all. We be lying. So that's the time Russell Simmons and the Kamara Lee Simmons was coming up. And I think Kamara, I don't know if Kamara was from St. Louis or something like that. And listen, you know that was a up. She was a mile probably and seeing Russell, you know, Russell was running Def Jam, Chad and Sushi and something. Well, I dread be trying to tell people about Aaliyah. I say it wasn't right for Aaliyah to be in them studios with R. Kelly by herself, but at her 15 was probably 19. Her 15 wasn't like your little girl's 15 that you might have had sheltered in the house and not doing much. Her 15, she was out there recording. I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying she's doing a lot more things that adults do, and her grow-up is fast. And it wasn't nobody to protect her from growing up fast, okay? So this is the time in which we talk about. So I want to get that straight before y'all start saying, well, Russell deserved it because Russell's a pedophile. So that was somewhat of a, it was creepy, but it was happening a lot in the crack era. I remember old dudes used to be outside waiting for chicks in their cars after school. Okay? And these was girls who knew what they was doing. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying what it was. It was a different time frame, okay? So when we get back, we're going to get into Kamara Lee, because I had to get that straight, because a lot of y'all getting confused about his family and talking about him, and I'm like, see, Russell is a this and that, he might be, I don't know, Russell probably was, Russell might have been horrible. Listen, I told y'all, I told y'all about how when I used to go out, hang out and stuff like that, try to meet rappers and stuff, how many of them knew, was trying to talk to me when I was a young girl. And I told y'all about one specific person, okay? Big time rapper. I wouldn't ever say who. And they was a, all I say is group, part of a group. That's all y'all know. And I met a lot of rappers that was part of groups. But this is what I was just saying, tell y'all, okay? That time, it was a lot of wild crap going on, okay? So that's what, and I just happened to be a young girl who had street smarts and knew, yeah, ain't no way, dude. I ain't interested in whatsoever because I know how you roll out in these streets, okay? So that's what, so, but it wouldn't be surprising to me that some of these dudes was hideous. However, Russell might have been hideous, but there's been no charges filed against Russell. And Russell might have ran to Valley because he saw what was happening with R. Kelly. Listen, he might have just said, hey, I ain't, because you don't have to have too much proof in America. You can bring up a story from nowadays, from 1925, and run somebody through the court system, and they spending all their wealth and stuff on lawyers all day long trying to get out of stuff. So maybe that's why he ran about, okay? Because he's like, hey, this is going to get something else. And some of the stories I did hear from the women, because I saw some documentary or something on it, I was like, eh, you know. I mean, they didn't have a lot of proof, and that's probably why they haven't been any charges up against. But nowadays, you don't have to have much proof. To me, some of these men who might have been creeps in the 90s and the 80s, to me, a lot of these court cases, even though they might have been creeps, a lot of these court cases, to me, have been taking extreme liberties to put these people in jail for stories that I sometimes say, I am for people having a fair trial, okay? But it's hard to prove stuff from 1952. But they've been letting that go. Like, they've been letting situations go where people come in and testify, 1991, he touched me. And he might have touched you. But people are just taking people's word and knocking them up. And then somebody else come up and, yeah, 1991, I might have saw him outside go deal with her. I mean, it's just, when you look at these cases, some of them, even in the cases of people who, like Harvey Weinstein, who I've been hearing for years with creeps and stuff like that, this, some of the cases seem kind of a little unfair from a legal standpoint. And I want everybody to have a fair trial, even if they were considered a creep, because I don't want nobody blame nothing on me, and I don't get no fair trial, right? So I think a lot of these cases have been that have been brought up against some of these people right now that we have been seeing in these Me Too movements. Some of them, I feel, have had more ominous things behind them. And don't get mad at me. It just is what I think, okay? It doesn't mean I don't believe women. I don't think the women didn't have, I'm just saying, I don't think they had enough proof. And sometimes people have been getting convicted anyway in some of these hate courts, and they shouldn't have been. Some of these cases should have been moved out of certain venues. I mean, like, they shouldn't have had, like, to me, Harvey Weinstein shouldn't have had no trial in New York City. I mean, like, he's known there. So, like, they should have been in a small town or a smaller town outside of New York. Same thing with R. Kelly. Okay, so it's a lot of things that we just have to ensure that legally people, that is done right if you don't catch them. But if you couldn't catch them in 1989 and you let all that shit go in 89, you knew he was messing around with little girls, and now you're going to come 20 years later and try to railroad him because he done did something against the industry or something like that. I ain't for that shit, okay? Because I'm like, you could have got him in 89 when there was proof. And because you was making money off of these people, you didn't do something. So I feel the same way about Russell Simmons if there is something there. But he is innocent until proven guilty. And ain't nothing been found on Russell. And it'd be a lot of celebrities be taking them trips to Valleys. They'd be probably hanging out with Russell, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about more when I get back. I'm going to tell y'all what I think, okay, about the kids crying on the Internet, all of it, okay? But we're going to start off this show tonight with some of my favorites. Let's listen to Back to the World, Tevin Campbell. It's the CC Show. I will be back in a moment, y'all, okay?
I know. takes her time and does it right, cause she's not just an average. I really like the girl. And there's something about her lips, the way she kisses, the way she rocks them hips, yo. I think I like sugar. Oh, this sugar, it is a sweet, it has me right up on my feet, baby.
We are talking hot topics. And let me get, I'm trying to make sure y'all, my sound is okay, because y'all know, y'all be telling me, y'all like, Clarada, you sitting here? Okay. All right, so we got to get into this. I'm going to start it off with Kamora Lee Simmons, Russell Simmons, child drama. Listen, they had a lot going on today, okay? I thought I was going to have a setup, y'all. I got a setup right. Y'all know how I be doing out here. I really have it. Okay, let me put it up. Pull this up. But, yeah, so they brought their family drama to the internet, okay? And let me just say this, okay? It was sad to see. Okay, I'm like, is this the person that Alicia Keys was singing about? We can act out like Russell and Kamora. We can make money like Russell. What was the song? And she talking about we can do something with Russell. Well, we can make money or something. I forget. Like Russell and Kamora. Child, remember that song? Child, but anyway, Lord, that's it's a new day now, okay? So, child, let's hear from Kamora first.
Kimora accuses Russell Simmons of attacking her family after Ming Lee's Father's Day post says he cut his daughter off while they were trying to get through college. Now, it started off with Ming Lee, I guess, sending a happy father, and I hate when kids do this, sending a happy Father's Day post to their mama, and I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, she's not your daddy, okay, but whatever. But that's what, and especially with Russell Simmons, you know what I'm saying? Because, and I'm going to explain something, you know, and y'all going to be thinking I'm giving excuses. A lot of y'all be thinking I'm always on me inside. I am not. I'm just saying I be trying to tell y'all, like, sometimes I think you got to look at things a little deeper. But here's Kimora Lee coming on, and she's explaining. Now, I remember him and Kimora, let me just say this, him and Kimora have gotten along for years together, even through Kimora's marriages, except when she married that one last guy. And Russell Simmons sued them, and allegedly he lost that suit, and he had to pay her $100,000. And after that, Russell has not been getting along with Kimora. It seemed like he was not happy about that, whatever that last situation went down. I mean, even to the point, Kimora was taking up for him when the legal woes and all that stuff was coming out, when the accusers and stuff. So these two people have co-parented and been cool, it seemed like, forever until the last maybe 5 years or so, maybe 7 years, okay? So let's listen to Kimora talk about the situation with her kid, child. It's a lot, so y'all check this out, okay?
This particular person in question, because I could go in on a few of them, one by one. But it's funny how this particular person, if you, again, go look back, you'll see on their page that they post all these pictures like we're together, like we're friends. They've even posted pictures and then said, like, I just got off the phone with my kids. They sent me this great picture. None of that's true. I like receipts, so, of course, I have text messages. I have messages from all my kids. You know, you can go and see. I think the bottom line, like, probably the breaking point for all of this was over the past many months when their dad just sort of cut them off. He was contributing a little bit of cash to their, like, monthly, you know, college spending, not much, a couple hundred dollars probably, maybe $500. Maybe, you know, and I never get into this. I usually let people go and rant and rave. And so one day he just kind of cut the kids off. There was no more money coming in, no more, like, allowance, quote-unquote allowance. I think he probably did that just to double up the expenses on me, which is no problem. I stepped up. I did it. But when he did this, it was around just before finals and graduation. It was some months ago, just before finals and graduation. And he did it without telling the kids or talking to the kids or anything. He did it, it's funny, after he did an interview with I heard some clips from an interview with this young man. I don't know. I see him a lot. I think his name is Academic or DJ Academic. Oh, happy Juneteenth, you guys. We're doing all this on Juneteenth. Come on, let it go. So I saw in that clip, that was some months ago, too. You can go and reference it and find it, where he told this guy, he was on and on about this guy, and I think it was about old school hip-hop heads. And so... one day he should honor them, which I believe you should. But he was saying to the guy, like, I'm so rich. I got this and I got that. I'm this and that. None of that could be further from the truth. You know, he has turned around. And then again, I have records and evidence of this where he's told the kids in writing, we have it, text messages, I'm broke. I this, I that, I can't, you know, go get it from your mom. Now, meanwhile, I have been financially carrying this person probably for the last at least 10 years, myself and my ex-husband. Again, this is all proven with receipts, so whatever, somebody doesn't like what I'm saying, you know, we could talk about it. We can come. We can open up our receipts. I love it. I love receipts. But I've taken care of this person to the tune of many, many, many millions of dollars to help with their bills, their overhead, their companies that they run into the ground, their unsuccessful bids, all of their stuff. I don't necessarily speak for my kids, but I think I could take probably a good shot at it. They're sleeping right now because it should honor them, which I believe you should. Not even 8:30 in the morning. But my two oldest girls, they're young women. They're young women of the world. I think that was a very tough for them, that their dad like kind of cut them off and cut off conversation and cut off helping them. And he's even said things to them like, why did you go to college? You shouldn't have gone to college. You wasted that money. You could have saved it while I'm up here trying to hustle the kids over the finish line. Not even 8:30 in the morning. I didn't just start to see my kids. We didn't just go through a divorce. We went through this divorce, I don't know, 20 years ago, 20 some odd years ago. So this is not a situation, again, you can get received, you can go see where they say like, oh, kids been brainwashed, but we've been fine up until these past several years. So, you know, what happened? All of a sudden now the kids are brainwashed. All of a sudden now these young women who are grown women are babies. You know, they have their own relationship with.
Okay. That was from Kamora. Okay. So I want to speak on Kamora right first. Okay. Before we get to the kids. And let me just say this. Okay. Because she said a lot. Now, you know, she said I might believe Kamora that she has maybe been helping Russell financially. I mean, Russell sold Def Jam years ago. The deal I heard he got, never thought that was that great of a deal. I think he sold it for $100-some million at that time. It was a lot of money back those days, but I just like, you think a long time, you know. And I think he sold along with, who else was it, Rick Rubin? Or I forget who else was the other person, but yeah. I hate this for the both of them. Let me just tell you, I have been like a huge Kamora Lee person, because one of the things I remember about Kamora Lee, I used to watch her reality shows all the time. And I remember I thought Kamora always is such a fabulous mother, because even when she was running Fat Form, I remember she had this reality show and she used to bring her daughters in the office. And what I loved about that, if they were really little at the time, and I remember her like it looked like, because we're looking at reality TV, so we don't know what the hell is really going on. But from the reality TV, it looked like she put great balance in her parenthood, even though she was busy. It's like she took time to bring the kids in the office, and she would have them helping her pick. They like literally be working with her. Like, what color do you like for this purse? And she'd be, you know, and she would do. I said, oh, that's so cool. I just thought it was just like I thought that she exhibited in that show, good traits of a mom. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. You know, I know she's been married 3 times, child. Okay, okay. She may just not have it right on the relationship side, but so I like Kamora and I like Russell. You know, here's the deal. You know, Russell, and that's why I said kids. I said on my post today on the Carlisle Chapel Facebook page. I said y'all need to heal. Go watch the funeral. From the movie Succession, from the show Succession, and you might understand your daddy a little bit more, okay? And what I mean by this is, and I'm going to get to the kids in a minute with the Succession, but I'm going to get into Kamora. I'm going to stop up story on Kamora's part right here. I don't know what's going on with Russell. I don't know if he's putting y'all through hell or whatever. But one thing Kamora got to acknowledge, and the kids and everybody got knowledge, if it wasn't for Russell, would nobody be there. I'm going to say it again. If it wasn't for Russell, most likely nobody would be there. Most likely wouldn't be no Harvard, you wouldn't have been able to be no millionaire. Maybe you would have. I know you was modeling with Tyra Banks and stuff, but it might not have been as good as just being with Russell. You was with Russell for them years, okay? You put your head at that fat form. Oh, yes, he did. Remember, Russell used to give Kamora the keys to the kingdom. At least it looked like it back in those days. Oh, yes. No. I mean, he was literally the first dude. I don't know what he was like. He's probably... Listen, most dudes, not all men, this doesn't give anybody, just because you're successful, it does not give you the right to be a tyrant or an egomaniac. even though a lot of men or those people are, because they don't know how to operate any other way. Because a lot of those people, when they get up in those big business things and stuff like that, here's what I say, fame, when you have fame and power and money, and you're building legacies, I mean, you're building like actual great businesses and CEOs, it's easy to be an egomaniac, to be a horrible person because you're under such tremendous stress and everything, and you will not be the traditional father. And this is people, even people who are spiritual can be this way, okay? But the thing is, for people who are non-spiritual, I know they really be a mess, okay? But for people who are spiritual, you got a Godhead, so you should be much more decent and understanding of your family dynamics. But also at the same time, I understand that to be in that business environment, you might have a parent if you have somebody like the succession, where they're very hard and can sometimes be cruel. But I love the end of Succession and the funeral. If you ever saw, for those of you who do not know what I'm talking about, Succession is a show that comes on, the series that HBO had on about a rich family, well-to-do family, kind of like a Rupert Murdoch family, like their father owned the news channel, kind of like Fox or whatever. And he was a tyrant to these children, you know what I'm saying, and everything. But the father ends up dying in the last season of Succession, and they do this, what I call this wonderful funeral scene. And the son, you know, the uncle has just got up and said every bad thing about this man who owns all this stuff. But then the son gets up and he says, yes, my father was a tyrant. Yes, my father was this and that. He said, but my father had this thing, you know what I'm saying? He said he built worlds. He built things that made men want to dream. When you hear it, I mean, you hear it, he's saying, yes, he was all these things, but he said, if I could have just a little bit of that in me, a little bit of that drive that he had. You know what I'm saying? So I think Russell Simmons is very complicated. You know what I'm saying? And that doesn't give him an excuse to act up. But you're talking about somebody who is a builder of industry. So, and he really, to be honest, Kamora Lee would not be where she is without Russell Simmons. And that doesn't give him the right to mistreat anybody and stuff like that. But it does give you a moment to pause and say, hey, this is, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? You know, this cat had already been, you know, where you have to just kind of be like, because I have that in certain situations in my family, and I'm not for families. If you got a family member that you can't get along with, I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your auntie, your grandma, your grandpa, your whatever, if they're causing, they're breaking your peace, sometimes you have to let people go. Hey, I did that recently. I don't have ain't no shame in my game, okay? And it's not that I don't love the people. It's just that I just don't feel the need to have a relationship with them, okay? But it does not mean I don't care for them, okay? It's just for my peace of mind, I don't want the relationship, you know? But it doesn't mean I don't honor the great things in which the person does. I don't honor the good things. I don't understand, you know what I'm saying? So my thing is, for people, in their cases, it's so different. Let me get to the kids, okay? Let's listen to the little kid. We already heard Kamora, so I'm going to let y'all hear the kid part. Aoki Lee, okay? Simmons addressed a strained relationship with her father. Let's listen to her, okay?
He sent her in the middle of the night to, take her some papers to, sign away her inheritance or whatever. And then she was like, should I be signing these? And I was like, what? She, sends people to threaten her. And you know Ming is a calm person. No, please stop with the bullshit. I hope you find peace and privacy in this venting. I have been dealing with this my whole life. This is not new. It's not new drama. I already live in the drama. Now I'm just sharing. There's no therapy you can go to with someone who weaponizes the fact that you don't want to go public, right? Because when he posts something and I don't respond, cause I'm like, you know, I don't want to have drama. And so he's been weaponizing that we don't want to, that we don't want to have drama. I'm not, I care about my family. I don't like to have this out there. But he uses that against you. But what are you going to do about it? You're not going to say something. So now I'm saying something. And if you're going to say one more thing about, like, you should be in private in therapy, can you get off, please? Because I'm telling you, he uses that against me, and I'm not going to have it. And my sister and my mother, and I'm not going to have it. And he's going to spin the whole narrative about, oh, your mom turned you against me. I am very independent-minded. You can ask my mom. She has an issue with me every day since I was 4. I want to cut my hair. I want to move out. I want to do this. And she's like, we negotiate all the time. I'm not the type to, like, whatever you say, mommy. I'm, like, kind of an independent individual in that way. She would know. She raised me with a lot of work. So he's going to say, she's not with me. I'm in New York. Like I said, staying with a friend because he will not even give me $100 for rent, which is fine. I'm saving. But, like, all that money you're crying, he doesn't give me a dollar. Not that you need it, you know. People work. People are 18, 20. They don't have parental support. I don't have support to you. Yeah. But that's all I really have to say, I guess. I think I covered all the points. It's been many years, so don't tell me this is just drama that just started. I've been living in it. It's been terribly directed at the children. It's not like I could just stay out of it. We tried. I would be in school, living. Happy Father's Day, Happy Mother's Day. And my mom, if I asked a question, she'd be like, this is not your concern. But any time I allowed him into my life, even to have lunch, he would start yelling about what it's like, tell your mom to do that. And I was like, I can't, what? Cursing, saying terrible words. If you don't agree with him immediately, it's immediately cursed out, foul things. Like, if you don't immediately say, oh my God, I hate my mother too, like, you're in trouble. So, don't tell me this is just started. I don't really care if I seem crazy because I know that I'm not. And like I said, I will release every email. I'll release my entire WhatsApp log because I have behaved as well as I could have at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I have behaved as well as I could. Please give me some space. I don't want to talk about that. Well, I don't want to hear you hear about my mom. Could you please stop? Please don't call my friends. Please don't call my boyfriend. Please don't call my friends at school. Please don't DM my friend at school on Instagram to harass me. Please don't threaten my job. Please don't send people threaten my sister. I have done the best I possibly could.
Okay.
I did also want to come in here and say that a lot, like, I can't, between a lot of people who are close to him and who have experienced how he is, I mean, just lashed out at anyone he can and completely changed the person that he is, a lot of us feel like maybe something's wrong.
Okay. Child, listen. Okay. Part of this is they in their 20s. They young, okay, because there's a lot of things you can do. This I have family members going through divorce. And child, the kids was going through with the mom. I said, you got to quit telling them stop. Was telling, but and this is past the divorce because Russell and Kamara have been getting along, but it's just the recent years, I think, with the money and the situation. And I'm gonna personally tell you what I think. I think Russell, maybe Kamara, I don't know, Russell may have made some bad financial decisions, and Kamara felt obligated to cover. I don't know if that's true. That's just telling me what I'm thinking. And she felt an obligation because Russell did help her. Russell, you probably wouldn't be there without Russell, right? So you feel like you need to help. But Russell also felt allegedly like her and her husband scammed him in some sort of way, okay? So that's when the drama has been unfolding, okay? The drama seemed like it came in during that time when she's with this dude who is now being accused. I mean, I think they said he might be going to jail or something because he's allegedly like took about $200 million or something. I forget the story, but I have to look it up. But I think that they, first of all, as a family, they've been going through a lot of emotional turmoil, particularly Kimora, because you've been in three bad marriages, and the third one almost is about to land, could have landed you in jail. Because a lot of times people are reflecting back to her with her husband's, and you know, last drama. So the kid, there's probably tremendous stress going on. And then maybe financially, where Russell may have gotten involved financially, and Russell may feel some sort of way like, I'm king of the cat. I built the thing. You know what I'm saying? It's sort of like, I mean, I know you didn't help and everything, but, you know, can I have some respect up in here? You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't have had to take you to court, even though I lost the court case, you know. I feel like there's probably a tremendous amount of stress that's been happening with this family, okay? Now, what I would say to that child is, honey, listen here. First of all, you know, no matter what money you got, no matter what or what, you know, people have a right to their feelings. And sometimes you don't understand the privilege you have. You know what I'm saying? You don't like she was saying, don't threaten my job, because there was other saying rumors that she was threatening to take jobs from them and stuff like that, because he's probably opened the doors for them with some of his friend group and stuff like that. And I don't think it's right if you're calling their friends, harassing them. Russell, you got to cut that out. You mad or something? Cut that shit. What's Russell Simmons? Sorry, first of all, let me look this up. Y'all know how I am about astrology. Let me see what Russell Simmons. I'm going to listen to some stuff on him tonight, too, about his astrology. But, and Kimora's, too. Let me see. Where is he? Russell is, what is Russell? Oh, God. Is that a Virgo or a Leo? I think he's a Virgo. I think Russell's a Virgo. Oh, he might be being a trip right now, okay? Listen, is he a Virgo? I'm not sure if he's a Virgo. No, he might be a Libra. Let me look. Okay, y'all, sorry, she was quiet, but let me look at it. Yeah, he is. Let me look here. I'm pulling up his chart now. Okay, but, yeah, Russell is a Libra. Okay, yeah. And he's got a moon in Aquarius. Oh, Lord. Y'all know how y'all moving in Aquarius is, or can be stubborn. Okay, stubborn. No, I don't care if you say your sun sign is a cardinal. No, that moon. Oof. I mean, like, where you don't want to listen. You know, Aquarius is, you think they're smart. Maybe we. Ain't nothing like an Aquarius energy. Especially in Aquarius moon, they be trying to sit on their post, boy. They be trying to, I ain't moving off my throne. Y'all so cute. I ain't moving off my stand. Russell might be, you know, being a little hard ass, okay, with them, right? But what's Kimora? Let me look at Kimora real quick before I see, you know, look at this, what's going on here. Okay. Kimora is, where's Kimora? She is from St. Louis too. Kimora is a Taurus. Oh, stubborn. Listen, I know you Taurus. I know the Taurus. Yes. Okay. Stubborn. Likes the finer things in life. Definitely. That's why she's married to Russell. That's why she married Russell. Okay. And then D-Mine may not have had no money, but he did have this. I don't know. He had a little bit of money, but he may not have had the status, but he did have the status as an actor. She was married to him during the good years of acting, I think. Then there's this last guy who looked like he had the lifestyle, okay? So Tarsus in their true essence, it's not that they marry for money. It's like they do like to feel money is an aphrodisiac for a Taurus. I mean, it's not money. It's living a certain lifestyle, and that's provided through wealth and money. Like people was talking about Janet Jackson. You know, as soon as the fifth year was up, she hurried up and left. People was like that she was Janet Jackson getting that money, a check or whatever. But that's very Taurian. Janet Jackson is a Taurus. She likes to be relaxed and financially, help because it allows her to do all the great things that Taurians need, okay, to relax and feel good. Unless you're a dark sided. There's some dark sided Tauruses that, you know, reverse that situation. But Kamara, she's a moon in Aquarius too. Oh, so they really gonna be fighting. Child. Oh, wow. Okay. So there's probably some sense of understanding of each other's feelings there. Venus in Gemini. Mars in Pisces. That explains the three marriages, huh? Oh, Venus in Gemini. Okay, listen, can we talk about it for a second? I ain't going to diss y'all, okay? Y'all, Gemini is out there. But when you see Venus in Gemini, I'm always going, oh, God. You know, because when you see Venus in Gemini, Gemini is a sign that is extremely it's a right astrologers, if I say attention deficit disorder, y'all astrologers, let me know, okay? I feel like Geminis can have ADD. Like, some of my girlfriends and stuff have been Geminis. They can't stand to be bored. The men are different from the women. Men just really can't stand to be bored, okay? So when you find somebody who got that Venus in Gemini in love, doesn't mean they can't be loyal, but it means that, you know, it might be hard. I mean, because they might be, you know, they Venus is in a sign that needs to constantly, that's youthful, constantly needs to be stimulated. It's a hard placement, I think, kind of for love. I mean, it's sexy, you know what I'm saying? Because Gemini is the sign. You know, everybody thinks Scorpio is the sign of sex. Scorpio is the sign of sex organs and stuff. But also Gemini is the sign of sex. Like, you know, the Gemini is the symbolism, the cross, the man and the woman, the merging of two. That's why you'll often find Geminians will have experiences with relationships that will be bisexual and stuff in nature. Not all Geminis, but some Geminis, because Geminis are open to the feminine and the masculinity part. Are you finding exploring sexualities in very strange, in different ways, like Prince, you know what I'm saying? He was exploring his masculine and feminine energy and stuff like that, and some people thought Prince was gay. I mean, it's not strange, because Geminians are a very sexual sign, okay? So I think probably her and Russell, that's probably a very interesting relationship. And plus she has that Mars in Pisces, which means Mars in Pisces, there's a lot going on there too. You can tend to romanticize things and even relationships. You can tend to, it could tend to be a placement where we partner with that Venus in Gemini. I'm not an astrologist. I'm just telling y'all what I've heard astrologists say. Okay. With that Venus in Gemini, it can keep you out in these streets. I mean, you don't run around out of these streets. Who else got that place? Maxwell. Maxwell has a Venus. He has Venus in Gemini and Mars in Pisces. He does, but he has some other things in his chart that may kind of stabilize him a little bit more than the average person. But he has a stellium in Gemini. So it's very interesting. He could probably be like that too. But Kamara definitely, you can see it, Neptune, North Node, Sagittarius. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I get it. I get it. Okay, I don't got to see no more. She has ascendant in Leo like myself. That's a lot, too. Having that sun in Taurus, that moon in Aquarius, and that ascendant in Leo, baby. Astrologists, my people, please, I can't wait to see y'all do this on Kamora because I know it's a lot there, okay? Definitely likes the good life, okay? Definitely likes finer things in life. Definitely wants the best. I'm going to say that it is not a shocker to me, right? You know what I'm saying? That she's like, yeah, you cut the kids off and blah, 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 blah. Because I believe Kamora raised her daughters probably in an energy of very fine living like Taurians tend to do. Not all Tauruses, but, you know, some of y'all, especially if y'all got that lifestyle. What I'll say about the kids is that you've been very privileged to have Russell Simmons as your daddy. There may be the ugly in it, but it's, you know, a lot of people got parents that was Rolling Stones, ain't got no money. Like what they would some say, Papa was a Rolling Stone, wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left me was alone. Okay? Some people got daddies like that. All right. But you got a daddy who has opened so many doors for you just by your name. Just by, and I understand he might not be shit. Okay, really, for real. I understand that. I wouldn't say that. But but what he's done for you in the physical realm, allowing you to go to Harvard. You ain't gotta be looking for jobs under his friends. You can leave out of New York City and leave out of the areas where Russell is and go find you a good-ass job, okay? So we just Harvard behind your name, honey. You don't need Russell. Them Harvard, that Harvard, having that Harvard degree gets you a lot of your jobs, okay? Okay, no. We don't talk about it. Having a Harvard degree will put you in some nice spots, okay? So I'm just saying, ain't no sense in sitting here, you know, crying. Come up, my daddy's been raping somebody. You can cut your daddy off, okay? And I heard in there she said he sends people in the middle of the night to get her sister to sign herself out from the wheel and all that stuff. And that's traumatic for y'all. Okay, but check this out. There's a lot of kids out here ain't got no wheel to be excluded from. I just want people sometimes, listen, somebody can take your hand with your terrible ass daddy and win. That's what somebody told me that the other day. Because I was upset about something, and that's one of my favorite sayings. And somebody said, you know somebody can take your hand and win. Don't say my saying back to me. Okay. Listen here, Aoki and Smings or whatever y'all kids name is. Somebody can take y'all little ass hand and win while you're up here crying about y'all daddies on the internet and hollering about, really, I care about me, my daddy. Y'all better take that damn hand and win. You know what you can do with just a Simmons name? You had a bomb-ass mama who was a businesswoman and a bomb-ass daddy who was a businessman. You know what y'all two can do together as sisters? Just with the name? With the Harvard degree? I mean, if Russell don't do any damn thing else, he done did enough. I know you think you need, I know you saying, hey, what about emotional? What about, I get it. I understand that, okay? Some people ain't got that shit to give. Nah, I remember I heard Oprah Winfrey say that one time. I went to at Bishop Jakes. Years ago, I used to be on the Potter's House media thing. And I was covering one of Bishop Jake's Woman That Are Loose things. And he had Oprah show up. And Oprah was talking about how when you a 10-gallon person and you be trying to pour into people who are pint size, and they don't want your gallon. They can't have nothing to do with it. They like, hey, I and you trying to give them something that and you asking them for something that they ain't got to give. Can I get that up here? Let me put it up. I gotta pull it up because somebody might need to hear this. I be acting like I'm talking to these celebrities. These celebrities, y'all don't know none of these people. But listen, I may be talking to somebody out there who needs it. Let me see if I can find it. I know it's over here somewhere, but I was in the audience and I'm like, what happened? Oh, but that's deep. It was Bishop and Oprah talking, huh? Let me see. Okay, here it is. You're going to listen to it.
You have in your own mind what your mother should be and what you wanted your mother to be. And in many cases, your mothers and your fathers can't be what your ideal is. Isn't that correct?
Yes, because they were broken when you got them. There are some like you and like me and many people in this room who are voluminous. We are 10-gallon people. But we may have been born into families of people who have tight capacities. When you are a 10-gallon person and you want love, you want it on a 10-gallon level. But a tight person, they could be giving you all that they have, sincerely giving you everything, but it doesn't fill you up because you're bigger than them. But you must realize some people, that's all they got.
Okay, hold on, y'all. Getting there. Okay. Chat, okay. Now, listen, that was powerful hearing that years later. I was in the audience. I was like, Lord. I was like, because listen, I've been sharing personal stuff with y'all for the last few weeks and stuff like that. I often have a contentious sometime relationship. Sometimes it's good, real good. But sometimes over the years, you know, I was raised by my grandparents, okay? And since I was a young child, you know, sometimes I'd have, you know, not all the time, but there, and I'm sharing this because I think somebody might need to hear, you know, but sometimes I was in the audience that day, and let me just say this to people. That doesn't mean that Ming and Aoki need a relationship with Russell, because you may not need one. It may be disturbing your peace right now, and you may need to end that relationship. But as a young girl growing up and stuff like that, sometimes I have a contentious relationship with my mother. You know, my mother is very different from me. She was a teenager when she had a child. She's like, I don't know, listen, she's like my sister more than my mother. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. And I had all these expectations of her. You know, I'm like, why can't you just... You know what I'm saying? But then I had to realize when I heard this, it changed my life specifically. And then and sometimes it's still a struggle. You know what I'm saying? But also hearing, it was somebody else I heard on this too, talk about this too. But specifically understanding that your mother, she is never going to be what you think she should be. She is not a traditional mother. You're not going to have that. And my grandmother used to tell me that kind of stuff. She didn't say it in a mean way, but my grandmother would always come and say, this is different. It's different. You being raised by your grandparents, you got to be okay with it. She always would tell me that growing up. You got to be okay with it. This is something you got to accept. You can't be mad at nobody. This is how this is going to go. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, okay, okay. You got to make peace with yourself. You know what I'm saying? So I'd be like, okay. You know what I'm saying? And I understood it, and it helped a lot. But when I got older, sometimes I would have these contentious arguments with her and everything, and I couldn't, and I'd get so upset, and I'd be like, oh, my God, I can't deal with this. You know what I'm saying? And I had to realize that, you know what? This is who this person is. And they don't have the skill set. It's not, and this is no diss to her. She just did not have the skill set of what a traditional mother was. And you're not going to have that. You were raised by your grandparents. And you are not going to have the relationship with her. That's not going to be there. And I had to come to accept that, okay, because it was a different situation. And so I feel like these little girls have to accept that your daddy's like, listen, and I remember an astrologist told me this one time, my astrologer, Apollonie, shout out to Apollonie. She told me one time it was about some healing. Me and her, we were doing a session, and she said to me, she said, you know, she was talking about, you know, they talk about North Nose, South Nose and stuff. And she was saying, you know, your mom probably really wasn't supposed to have you, you know, because she was talking about your mom, my mother's North Nose and all this stuff like that. And she said, but, you know, she did. She said, and everything that is beautiful about you, every gift, every talent, everything, because she looked at my mom, so she said, she gave to you. And I was like, wow. She's like, think differently about the situation. And listen. Listen, she got this is the vessel that brought you here. And sometimes all they got to give you is what they can blow in your life. You know what I'm saying? The energy they can blow. They ain't got a lot to give you. They can't be a mama that's, you know, that's cuddling, or they can't be that because they don't know how to be that. It may not have been given to them or something like that, but that's all they got to give you. And you got to understand, okay. And that's what these little girls need to understand. Russell has given them everything he got. He ain't got the rest of it. Y'all talking about, I've been doing this for years. Russell might not be a cuddling daddy. He might not be no daddy that was there. He might be not none of that. But guess what he gave you? He gave you a degree to Harvard because he paid for that probably. Or he got you. He having that last name helped you get into the doors at Harvard. He gave you a lifestyle that most people would die for. He exposed you to so many resources that are unbelievable. But he might not have a whole lot to give as far as fathering and love because he spent so much of his pint on trying to give you something that he did not have. Somebody pass a message on to Ming and Aoki and Kimora's ass, too. That's a word. That's a word for somebody out there, okay? Yo, sometimes people ain't got it to give. Sometimes you dealing with people who's a pint-sized people when you a gallon, 10-gallon person, and they can't give you no more. They can only give you what they got. And sometimes it's a little, and that's no diss to them. It's just that it took everything for them to get you to there. Father told me, it took everything for your mama to have you. She got you here. That's how she's supposed to. All right. Wow. When I heard, I was like, whoa. That's all. Now you do the rest. You got everything. You got gifts and talents. You got whatever. She got her. You got people say you look like you got her. But you got everything. She got you. That's all. That's all maybe she can do. Can't be mad at that. It's hurt. And sometimes don't feel right and it don't feel well, but that's your. That is your beautiful journey, of collateral beauty in life. Aoki and Ming, your beautiful journey is that your daddy might be over in Bali hiding from some allegations and some shit that he may have did in the 90s and all that stuff, and he might be upset, and he might be tired, and he might be a whole lot of things, but he gave y'all a hell of a life. Ain't no sense in crying on the internet. Hey, he's putting me through. He took me through. Girl, you ain't going through nothing. Take what he done gave. Understand he can't give no more. And if you have to cut him off and be like, peace be with you, Dad. I love you. Peace be with you. And you may not have to, you might can't even take his money no more because he done gave you enough at this point. And Kamora, you know that. He done gave them enough at this point. Accept what he gave you and move the hell on. Sitting on the internet crying, don't do nothing but make us on these blogs talk about your ass. So here's some good advice. Listen to Bishop Jakes. We're over 10-gallon people born into families with pint-sized capacities. Sometimes it takes people, all they got is to raise you. Sometimes all people got to say, hey, I got enough to get you to where your next stop. Nah, that's real shit. People need to understand some shit out here. It's real. Ain't no sense of being angry. Sometimes that's all people got. They might not have been great parents, but they got you here. Maybe it was somebody else to take care of you. Or maybe it was the next level of, hey, if they did, them getting you here and the pain you endured or whatever, it caused you to bring your gift to the world. But whatever it is, listen, you got more than most. You got a lot, baby. You got a lot. That's why I had to realize. I said, you know what? You're right. She got me here. And not only that, she gave me a lot. You know what I'm saying? Sure. I got some good jeans, honey, some cheekbones. Ooh, I got some little sassy attitude. Next to my grandma's common sense. You know what I'm saying? My daddy's gangster. You know, I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? People only got what they got to give. And look at what they got. Listen, man, you be mad at Russell all day. I don't even understand it because I'm sitting up here like, damn, y'all got a lot. Listen, you got that Harvard degree, baby. Ain't no sense in trying to take away my job. I'm like, bitch, you already gave me the Harvard. I already been to Harvard. Shit, I'm in now, daddy. Do what you want to do. If you want to take that wheel, take that little money, do you. Hey, I'm going to be out in the streets with my Harvard degree and using your name. Okay, because that's probably what he really wants you to do. He ain't got no more. He's saying, I'm going to spend it all in the tank. You told me, and Kamora's on talking about, you know, he's saying on academics, he's an academic, he's broke, but I've been carrying him for 10 years, and blah, blah, blah. That's, so Kamora, he's letting you know he ain't got no more in the tank. Kamora, do you realize what's done happened? No, I don't think you have. So let me break it down to Kamora. Somebody give this tape to Kamora, okay? Somebody you know Kamora, let her know. Kamora, let me explain what's going to happen, okay? You've been in 3 marriages that have not worked. The third one has been to an alleged dude out here who was Tinder swindler. I mean, not Tinder swindler, but with Tinder swindler business or whatever, going on alleged, okay? And may almost get you in trouble, too. Now, at one point back in the day, you was with Russell Simmons. Everybody go, it rains. Let me just say this. It rains on the just and the unjust. It's just, everybody get rained in their life. Everybody have hard times, Kamora. It is what it is. And with right now, what you ain't seeing, sis, is that it's raining. And Russell, for him, Russell's ass, the man who built you up and who gave you the lifestyle that you in right damn now, well, who allowed you to use his resources. He ain't God, but he was one of God's resources for you to move in this life. Now he's over there hiding in Valley, hoping that they don't put no charges on his ass from 1981, okay? From Crush Groove days. Okay, he's over there hiding, and you saying he done took money from me. So you got to understand this man is not no longer in a state to give. He ain't got shit else to give. He done gave you the lifestyle. He done gave you the name. He had you running Fat Form. He had you on reality TV series. He had you on all kinds of shit. The Negro don't got no more to give, Kamora. So now, sis, you know who you are. You was running fat for him at one time. You got good business sense. You got to step the hell up, get your family together, and be a boss. They talk to little kids, you talking about be a boss bitch? Now, you need to be a boss bitch, because you was one time, he taught you how to be a boss bitch. He can't do it no more. He up over there in Valley acting crazy and out of his mind because he's scared as hell. And you up here talking about, he didn't stop giving child support because you don't know what the damn time it is. Okay? Do you not know what damn time? You got one in jail or one getting ready to go to jail that you was married to and one hiding in back. What's wrong with her? She not know what time it is. It's time for you to stop crying on the internet. Just leave me and my girls alone. No! He gave you everything. He ain't crazy right now because he's hiding over in Valley, girl. Do you not see what time it is? It's time. What you going to do tomorrow? I was glad I took up for that. I took up the space for that money. Okay, I'm glad you took up the space. Okay? But right now, the Negro that helped you take up the space is getting ready to let you go to jail. So now you got to build your children up, and you better build, especially if you might be going. I don't know. I ain't heard nothing about that. But if you are, you better build them up, okay? I remember I had years ago one of my best friends, her mom was dying. And I remember I used to go over to their house, and I used to be really close with her mom. I always be laughing and joke. Her mom would tell me these stories, and we'd be laughing. And sometimes I even tell my friends to this sometimes now stories, and she's like, she told you that, and she'll be laughing about, what, I didn't know that or whatever. But her mom would do sometimes where I would consider the wildest shit. I'd be like, oh, my God, her mom would be like, coming out, we be in there talking and laughing as teenagers, and her mom would come in and say, honey, this is what I want her to wear to my funeral. And I'd be like, what the hell? That's just crazy and stuff. And she would teach her daughter about preparing for certain things when she wasn't there, like in case something happened, because she knew what was going to happen. And she was preparing. And I used to say, this is jacked up for a kid that's like 15, 14, 15, this is hard. But when my friend's mom died, I saw one of the strongest people ever. It wasn't that it didn't hurt her, but I saw her and her sibling, they were so strong because their mom had poured the hell into them. She let them know, this is how life is getting ready. Look, it ain't going to be easy. I ain't going to be here to guide you through, but I'm going to help you as long as I'm here. I'm here. I'm going to take you through the tough time. I'm going to give you what I got to take you through this next spot. It ain't going to be easy for you when I'm going, but I got you because I'm going to give you what I know. And I'm not saying Kamora died, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying Kamora, the old life has died, baby. Okay? Get these kids, these grown-ass kids off the internet crying and prepare them little mofos. You done gave them already the privilege and the lifestyle and stuff, but prepare them for what life may be looking like on the other side of privilege. When Russell ain't as powerful no more. Or you ain't as powerful no more. Or the man that you was with ain't as powerful no more. Lifestyle may gotta change, baby. Daddy might not be accessible because he's running for some charges right now, allegedly, over there back. Okay? So things have got to change the fuck around here. Okay? And you can't be on the internet crying. Okay? Because you got a name. And you got me. Boss up, bitch. That's all I got to say, Kamora. Boss up, bitch. Okay, it's time for this. Stop this shit. Stop this shenanigans. I'm going to do y'all. That was a waste of time y'all did today. Crying. Russell's out here. Russell gave y'all all he got. Shit. And it was a lot. Russell gave y'all a hell of a hand. Say that shit. Russell gave y'all a hell of a hand. Good ass hand, Russell gave y'all. Russell gave hell of a hand. You know what I can do? Russell gave y'all a hell of a hand. Shit. Play it. Okay? God gave y'all Russell, and Russell gave y'all a hand. Okay? Play. And listen to the success. Kids, go listen to the funeral succession. What they said about their daddy. He was a tyrant. But they said, if I just got a little bit of what he got. You just got a little bit of what your daddy got. You can do, you can build worlds. You don't need his old, say his old ass go sit down somewhere. He sold Def Jam years ago anyway. He over there running from 1985 charges. It's your time. Okay? Love you, daddy. Okay. Argue about mama. You and mama, y'all got y'all whatever argument going on. I ain't got shit to do with that, but if you want to keep telling her names and stuff like that, that's your business. I ain't going to hear it, though. Okay? So that may mean our relationship over, and that may mean I need to get out here on my own and find my own way, and you might cut me out from the wheel. Okay, that's how it's going to be, but you done gave me enough, baby. All right? I'm about to spin this wad that is Russell Simmons' child, the heir to Russell Simmons' song. I'm about to spin this name. Okay? That's how y'all got to come. Quit crying. People were worshiping y'all. Like I said, people got Papa was a Rolling Stone stories, and all he left me was alone. Y'all up here left with a name and Harvard and shit going on. It's not that I don't feel sorry for you because everybody right have a right to emotional problems, but shit. Crying about some bullshit. Russell has done. Kamar, Russell ain't got no more to give. Not right now. He's out of commission. Okay? So you got to teach your kids how to boss the hell up. My kids are children of the world. They know how to speak many languages. Yeah, but they on the internet crying. Because life, they feel the changes of life happening. And they don't know how to dissect them and discern them. But you need to learn how to dissect them and discern. You the grown woman. All right? You see what it is, babies. Daddy is not doing well right now. He's over there. He's having a hard time. I may have contributed to it. Maybe me and my ex-husband do well. I thought we was doing well by him. He perceives it as another situation. Hell, it's I don't know what to tell y'all, okay? But life may change, and you need to boss up, baby. Privilege may change. You're going to still be privileged, but you may have to work a little harder. Daddy might write you out of his will because Daddy crazy right now. Daddy got Daddy. Piss, he's up, be mad at the world. Okay, he's over there in valley, hoping don't nobody bring out no. He don't get no R. Kelly charges. Russell, he left the children. He's such. You should have known that shit was coming when he went over valley. Okay, let me move on, child. I got other stories to tell. I done gave them a good word. Okay, Bishop T.D. Jakes will open 10 gallon people born in the families with pint. Size capacity. Please pass it on, okay? Tell them, if y'all know the Simmons, tell them God bless. Tell them thank you. Thank you if they, I mean, I'll take a counsel, if you need some counsel, be feel, it's free. I'll give it to you free. It's easy. I learn it. Get it. Just another day. Daddy's over here. Daddy, he might be something wrong mentally. Yes, is wrong with him something mentally. He's over in Valley hiding, allegedly. Yeah, something wrong with his ass, all right. Get the picture. Happy Juneteenth. Anyway, now let me talk about this white woman child and got $26 million from Starbucks. Now, I heard the people who actually was involved in this, the black males.
About 79,000. Okay.
700 results
many times.
Uh-oh, I done did something, y'all.
Kamara Lee Simmons.
Oh, Lord. I done did something. I done put something. Okay. Okay. So I heard this woman who, let's see if I can pull it up, who is with the $26 million. Let me pull it up. Who got the $26 million was one of the people who were fired from Starbucks. During that time, remember when the two men got arrested in Starbucks, who black men who hadn't bought anything, but they were angry. People were just assuming they were in there to do some wrong and stuff like that, and they had them kind of arrested for nothing. Now, I heard that those men only got, like, community service or community activism or something like that. They decided to do something with the community, the Starbucks or something. I don't know the whole story. I'm going to have to look it up and tell y'all. But meanwhile, this woman who was fired from that situation. Let me pull up here. Okay. I'm going to have to go through these little stories a little quick here. Okay. Let's see. Jury awards $25.6 million to white Starbucks manager fired after the arrest of two black men. Okay. Jurors in federal court in New Jersey, this is from ABCnews.com, have awarded $25.6 million to a former regional Starbucks manager who alleged that she and other white employees were unfairly punished by the coffee chain after the high-profile arrest of two black men in 2018. Jurors in the federal, okay, said Shannon Phillips won $600,000 in compensatory damages and $25 million in punitive damages on Monday after a jury in New Jersey found that the race was determinative factor in Phillips' firing in violation of a federal and state anti-discrimination. In April 2018, a Philadelphia store manager called the police on two black men who were sitting in the coffee shop without ordering anything. Phillips, then regional manager of the operations in Philadelphia, southern New Jersey, and elsewhere, was not involved with the arrest. However, she said she was ordered to put a white manager who also wasn't involved on administrative leave for reasons she knew were false, according to her lawsuit. Phillips said she was fired less than a month later after objecting to the manager being placed on leave amid the uproar, according to her lawsuit. The company's rationale for suspending the district manager, who was not responsible for the store where the arrest took place, was an allegation that black store managers were being paid less than white managers, according to the lawsuit. Phil said that argument made no sense since district managers had no input on employees' salaries. The lawsuit alleged Starbucks was instead taking steps to punish white employees who worked in the area in an effort to convince the community that it had properly responded to the incident. During the closing arguments on Friday, Phillips' lawyers, Laura Mataki, told jurors that the company was looking for a sacrificial lamb to calm the outrage and show that it was taking action. Law 360 reported, picking a black employee for such purpose would have blown up in their faces. She said, Starbucks denied Phillips' allegations, saying the company needed someone with a track record of strength and resolution during a crisis and replaced her with a regional manager who has such experience, including navigating the aftermath of 2013 marathon bombings, Law 360 reported. Phillips' attorney, however, cited earlier testimony from a black district manager who was responsible for the store where the arrest took place, who described Phillips as someone beloved by her peers who worked around the clock after the arrest. Now, let me just say this, okay? Starbucks is dumb. And Starbucks, you know, instead of really doing the real work, see, this white woman done benefited off of these two black men probably getting the $25 million, okay? And it's no offense. I don't blame her for suing because of the way the situation set up and stuff. Instead of Starbucks really working hard to make sure that nothing like that happened in that store, and then instead of trying to show real progress and real change, they started doing, which a lot of corporations have been doing these days since George Floyd, started showing fake stuff to, you know, oh, look, we did this and we did that, or we changed this and we changed that, only to end up giving $25.6 million away. That instead could have gone to the people who really had the injustices. Not saying she had the injustice too, but really had the injustices, and because y'all didn't handle the situation right, and y'all ended up giving this woman $25 million. No better for you. Okay? The two men also reached a deal with the city of Philadelphia for a symbolic dollar each and a promise from officials to set up a $200,000 program for young entrepreneurs. Look at that. Listen to this. The Philadelphia Police Department adopted a new policy on how to deal with people accused of trespassing on private property, warning businesses against misusing the authority of police officers. So all they got, they was the main victims, and all they settled for was for a dollar each and a promise from officials to set up a $200,000 program for young entrepreneurs. Child, unbelievable. Y'all need to hire her lawyers. Y'all get the wrong thing. two young black dudes, $200,000. She got $25 million. And she didn't get arrested or nothing. She just got simply caught up in the mess of Starbucks trying to cover up their shit. Crazy. Y'all, they, y'all get $200,000. This is crazy. They got $200,000. It's like a dollar. And y'all set up a program in the community. Oh, my Lord. I got Jesus. Okay. I can't say no more. Crazy. Crazy. This is a crazy story when I heard it. I was like, really? I mean, wow. Shout out to she. I don't blame her. She did the right thing. She's like, nah, I'm getting my money. Megan and Harry lose their deal with Spotify. Is anybody surprised? Am I surprised around here? This is something I should talk about even. Is there anything we really want to talk about? Is there anything we need to know? That they lose their deal with Spotify? Of course Megan lost her deal with Spotify. She hear the show. Okay, I only heard a few minutes of it, and I knew it's done, okay? I'm not surprised. Megan and Harry came over here, and they expected. See, listen, Harry, I just wanted you to know. Poor Harry, he didn't really know the deal with Megan. I my personal opinion is, okay? And they thought they was going to make money, and they didn't. And what Cherry probably Megan just, I mean, she was on Suits before she married you, man. I mean, I was from a show in Canada where nobody knew her. You blew her up. I mean, you should have seen she really had the stuff to carry this through. Spotify, according to Yahoo, may end their $18 million deal with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle after their first podcast did not gain mainstream popularity. Of course not. Who's listening to Megan talk about, I thought I didn't know what it was like to be a biracial woman. According to media lawyer Ian Penniman, the streaming giant overestimated the couple's popularity after their first and only podcast episode failed to impress. It would not be an unfair assumption that perhaps their popularity was not as great as maybe they are indeed Spotify initially felt, he said. I think you could draw a conclusion that if Spotify haven't exercised the option on the next episode of the podcast, then maybe they did not have the popularity that either Megan and Harry expected or indeed Spotify anticipated. He added that Spotify could look into backing from other from their contract if they no longer wish to produce more content with the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. He told ExpressCo.uk, it's famously the case in music deals that goes back decades that when people talk about a large deal like Robbie Williams signing a deal for $15 million or something, it does not mean they get $15 million on day one. So the problem you have here, I would imagine, is that when they talk about $18 million Spotify deal, podcast deal, it probably means they have signed their first product. In this case, a podcast. They then have many, many options for further projects. Okay, let me just say this, the problem with Harry and Megan talking too much, okay? If Megan would have came over here and did a fun podcast, just fun, she would have did a fun podcast interviewing. I said they should have took, listen, let me sidebar. I said they should have took notes from his uncle. His great, what's it, his great uncle? His great uncle who advocated the throne. Okay? Him and his wife used to throw parties and stuff like that, and they was kind of known as socialites in the area and stuff like that. They should have did that when they came. They should have ignored that shit over in London. Should have quit. You could give little, you know, you could have gave an interview much later on about your daddy and what you thought about the royals. You should have did that after your shit blew up and you was big over here in America and you was having it going on and stuff, and then y'all could talk shit about the royals a little bit. A little at a time, not too much, but just a little bit. Oh, like, yeah, well, I did have some problems, but, you know, hey, all love, you know, but instead they came over here and they were driving. I didn't know. I didn't expect. I didn't look up. She, they were doing too much. They were talking too much shit. and they hadn't got anything out. If they just would have came over here and Megan would have did her podcast, and then she would have had, you know, and put it, videotaped it and show her famous friends coming by, oh, hey, Serena, hey, Mariah, and all these things and stuff like that, it would have went over well and not did no books, not talked about no racism in the white, you know, you could have talked about it a little, just a smidge. And it would have been nice if you would have talked about it, dropped the shit on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, like when I was in the royal family, and I hope they don't take offense to this, I struggled sometimes with depression, you know. That's what you could have dropped, not on Oprah's interview. You should have dropped that shit on your podcast, a little bit here and there. Sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. Has your sprinkle lady said, what's the sprinkle, sprinkle lady? I've used Barn, her little thing, but in a different way. You could have sprinkled some of that stuff coming up on your podcast, but instead y'all gave away everything. He had Harry out here in a chicken coop on Oprah. I mean, it was just terrible. And it wasn't that interesting about y'all. And Megan was over here trying to pretend like she don't want to be no actress still. I would put her ass to work, Harry. Get to work. Since we over here in America, we here, get a chick, don't act. It's what you want. You want to be around Hollywood. Here, you could have been running a big old business corporation over here. You could have been like, you know, the media company, Harry and Meghan's media company, putting out movies and stuff like that. Just been quiet for a little bit. But nah, y'all came here talking crap. Y'all didn't play it right. That's all. This is dumb. Okay? This is dumb. Okay? I wish y'all luck. Hopefully, give it. Y'all could have been at Essence Fest talking. Megan really don't want to go to Essence because Megan was going to try to use the black stuff, okay? And then Megan's like, well, maybe I can't play the white side. No, you can't, Megan. You know, I already told the world they was prejudiced. You know, the stuff was prejudice and stuff. So you came back into America and you say everybody to get with you over here, the white side to lift you up over here. Nope. Okay? And you didn't play it right. You didn't bring Oprah on your podcast and Gail and all them hanging out with you, have parties at the house with Tyler Perry and all that shit with your God kid's father who gonna be T and shit. You could, you know, now they all asses is probably scared of y'all because they, you know, them royals is looking like, they might be scared to mess up with these rulers, okay? So y'all might be asked out, okay? Hopefully y'all can have a party or something. If I was y'all, I'd try to reinvent myself and be like the what y'all uncle and then we'll kind of be socialites and quit talking shit about the thing y'all family. Then I already told everything anyway. It is what it is. All right. What else I got to talk about in the shoot? Like, y'all. Okay. We talked about Russell, John Morant, and another toy gun child. He's trying to show people he had a toy gun, but somebody sent a video of him lighting up candle. Child, Josh, just stop it, okay? Save us. I mean, this has got to be not the most smartest person in the NBA. I mean, I really wish the NBA would have just suspended him for, like, the whole season. I mean, it's crazy. I don't get it. I'm not going to talk about him and his toy gun because, you know what? I just feel like there's no need to do it. I feel like it's just nothing to talk about. But I will talk about these Chicago residents' shares fury over city's $51 million migrant package. Just a mess, okay? Let's listen to Fox News, okay, about this Chicago. It says, after the city council approved a multi-million-dollar migrant aid package, Chicago residents raised their concerns and frustrations at a meeting earlier this week. So let's take a listen.
Package to illegal migrants who are illegally coming into their city. The council set aside $51 million for housing, staff, food, and other resources. Residents sounded off on that earlier this week. Take a listen.
We have not gotten anything for our community, and we are sick and tired
how dare this mayor and city council have the guts to give migrants $51 million.
Andre Smith, the man you just saw in that video, was arrested for trespassing when he tried to block buses of migrants from entering Chicago earlier this year. He joins us now. Andre, welcome. Not easy to get arrested in Chicago these days, and yet you were arrested. What did you do? And then we'll talk about what happened.
You know, thank you for the opportunity to defend the residents of the city of Chicago. I'm 55 years old, and I waited 55 years to get arrested by stopping a bus of migrants to go into a school that the taxpayers paid for.
Mm. Yeah, it's unbelievable. So, again, you're no liberal. I mean, no conservative. You're a liberal, and yet you're calling for the end of sanctuary cities. Explain what you want your city officials to do regarding that.
Well, we have in Chicago $160 million that was spent for the migrants with no records, no plan. And now we're going to spend $51 million that was passed at city council with no record, no plan for 500 migrants for 30 days. That's unheard of. Never have it been done before. 500 migrants, $51 million, no plan of execution. So I'm calling for a forensic audit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling for a sanctuary hold on this city. I'm calling for the mayor to do a freeze on what we call a sanctuary disaster.
People don't get it, do they? Black Americans, you don't get it. You have been used. You have been used up. Your vote, your everything. When we tried to warn people, it's black people that have been trying to tell you, hold your court, make the Democrats promise you something, but y'all wouldn't listen. Now, we're not hearing droves and voters for old crazy Joe who don't know where he at half the time. You know, somebody's running the show, but it ain't Joe, okay? And y'all, now y'all upset because what are they doing? They bringing in the new voters. They replacing you. Chicago is a hot-ass mess, especially in the black community. The black community could have used $156 million. Every day is shooting going on, is killings going on and everything, and they willing to spend money on non-citizens who they don't have no record. They don't know where they coming from. They don't know what they did in any other countries. They don't know nothing about nobody. They don't know nothing about this. They will spend their money on them. To give the citizens of Chicago who have been in those cities for a long time, help build those cities up, pay their taxpayer money to those cities and everything, and they got to live in a crime-ridden city while you bring in replacements? Black people, this is what's happening. This is why you got to stop the madness, okay? You got to quit looking for politicians to be your freaking friends. They ain't got to be your friends. They can even be racist. I don't even care. I'd be like, just as long as you're going to get this done what we need to get done. So I assume they all racist, okay? So I don't have, there ain't no friends in politics. The thing is, what you going to get done that we need to get done, okay? Now y'all up here begging, we're going to try to do this, but the takeover has already started happening. And it's not just Chicago. It's places all over the country. Okay? And black people, you are partly responsible because you voted for a party who want new voters and want to replace you because you become more difficult over time. You really started asking, you starting to ask for some real ish. And they like, well, we don't want to give it to you. We so used to giving you symbolism, you know, like Juneteenth and stuff like that. Y'all asking for real stuff now. Y'all asking for us to build up your community. Y'all asking for some reparations and stuff. What? You can't give y'all no reparations. Y'all asking for real stuff, man. It's time for y'all to be replaced. Oh, my God. Can you see the writing on the wall? Black Americans might be done for. Okay. Because you just do some dumb stuff. You just do some dumb stuff sometimes, okay? And one of the dumb things we did was voting on Joe Biden. Well, y'all did. As it signs bill into, this is from thehill.com, to bar diversity, equity, and inclusion offices from Texas colleges, okay? It says Texas Greg Abbott has signed the bill into law barring diversity, equity, and inclusion offices from public colleges in the state. Abbott signed the legislation Wednesday after both chambers of the state legislature approved it late last month. His signature makes Texas the second state to ban such offices at publicly funded universities joining Florida. The law will recover that governing boards for these colleges not create or maintain an office of diversity, equity, and inclusion, hire and assign an employee or contract a third party to perform duties of such an office, or compel, require, induce, or solicit any person to provide diversity, equity, and inclusion statement, or give preferential treatment to anyone based on providing such a statement. It also bans public universities from giving preference to an applicant for employee or a participant in any college function based on race, sex, color, ethnicity, or national origin, and from requiring that anyone participate in diversity, equity, and inclusion training. The law notes that prohibitions should not be construed to apply to academic course instruction, style of research, or a creative work from a student, faculty member, or other personnel or registered student organization activity, guest speakers, and student recruitment and admissions. Let me just say this, okay? A lot of times when people hear diversity, Abbott directed state agencies in February to stop considering diversity in hiring practices, arguing that it is illegal. Okay, now, Greg Abbott and the dude DeSantis gets away with a lot of this stuff about getting rid of diversity laws and stuff like that, because what has happened is a lot of people are riding off of the civil rights movement and Black America. And this isn't to diss people about sexuality and all that kind of stuff and everything like that, but it's just that so many things have been attached to the ideas of diversity. The Black American civil rights struggle is no longer just that anymore. It's carrying a lot of things. Immigrants, it's carrying sexuality, it's carrying all these things, and the Black American race factor is up at the forefront, but it's never really the issue. That issue never gets looked at. Instead, it starts to be all these other issues coming up to the forefront, and Black Americans just carry the mantle because of America's history with race and towards Black people in America. So it's easy to put our causes, some people say, you know, it's easy for certain groups to put their causes behind the Black American cause, because Black Americans have such a strong history of discrimination and stuff like that. We need to use that, but what often happens is Black Americans end up getting left behind, and we end up being attached to a bunch of other stuff, and that way we can't target a Greg Abbott or DeSantis as being racist with Black Americans, because they can always say, well, hey, you got talking about transgenders going to the restrooms with other women and all that stuff. We don't want all that. We got diversity training for talking about this and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And it's not just y'all talking about race and discrimination. So we can't get them on our needs and stuff, because it's a whole bunch of other stuff attached to it, okay? I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's what we have to look at why these people, these certain governors, are able to get away with these things, because it's all the other things that are attached on to the Black American movement in the United States, okay? It's no longer just about racial injustice. It's become a whole hodgepodge, okay, that Black Americans are carrying, and Black Americans end up getting lost in the shuffle. So that's just my personal opinion on that, and I'll probably talk more about that when we can get more into my feelings on that later on, but this is just very interesting, okay? I want to talk about Jeezy. What's this Jeezy was talking about? I got it up here where Jeezy was, this man was talking about he was eating Subway sandwiches. for the last several years. Let me see, child. Do I got it up here? We got a few minutes. Let's see. I got it up here. Okay. I have it here. I think I have it. Okay. Jeezy, this is on HollywoodUnlocked.com. He said Jeezy was spending $2, said he was spending $2 on Subway every day, and that's how he saved money. Okay. Child. Okay, this is a dude who was calling himself the Snowman and hanging with BMF. And talking about, like, I know he's a dealer, okay? He said he was eating $2.07. Like, okay, y'all. So listen. See, this is why I'm telling y'all a lot of this stuff these rappers be talking about is fake shit. But let's hear him spin this news, okay? Crazy. Somebody out here eating Subway sandwiches.
I walked to Subway and got me a $2 meal, and that's the only money I spent every day, $2. I got a drink, a cookie, bag of chips, and a 6-inch sub, and that's what I ate every day for 2 years. And I saved all my money until I was able to line up and get what I really was trying to do, and that's when I took my game to the next level. Every day for almost 2.5-3 years, I walked to Subway and got me a $2 meal, and that's the only money I spent every day, $2. I got a cookie.
So, okay. He was calling himself the Snowman, Coco Man, and all this stuff. I thought, you know, and hanging around BMF, and he wanted me to believe he was running around buying himself $2 Subway sandwiches. These Negroes, it's just like somebody I heard last week said something stupid, too. Ocho Cinco, talking about how he lived 2 years at the, I was like, I ain't never heard that story before. Are you Negroes? I don't know what y'all are making up stories. He's talking about he lived 2 years at the stadium. When he was a football player. I'm like, that's not cheap. That's not safe, you know, just being frugal. That's just mental illness. Why would you say they carrying you millions of dollars? Why would you damn stay at the stadium? Crazy ass. Gives you a place. These people paying you millions of dollars. You can't buy no house or buy no stuff. But I stay. That's what he said. He said he stayed at the stadium. I don't believe that bullshit, but that's what he said, okay? And I don't believe him, Coco Man, with a Coco Snowman on his shirt, talking about he been and hanging around BMS and shit, talking about he was going buying $2 sub sandwiches. That's how he started staking up his money. Think, bro, shut up. All these lies people telling me. Where are these people out here telling these stories? And I ain't never known a Subway sandwich, even in the 90s, it cost $2. See, y'all remind me. They was costing back then $4. $4 and $5 for a combo, $6. Know what he was going to? $2. Just lies. Hey, it's my just Carlotta's opinion that they lies. Okay, I just don't believe it. I don't believe you, Snowman. Just no coke. Ain't snow for the cocaine dealer. You was hanging with BM. Wasn't he the one hanging with BMS? Okay, we're going to end this one. We got to talk about this one. Now, there was this, I watched this young lady, Real Talk with Yanni. She comes on YouTube, and this week she was talking about Jackie O, and she was talking about, the pressures for women to have BBLs. And she had this particular part on, and I want to play a little bit of it. And she's on YouTube. Y'all can see the whole show on YouTube. We'll talk with Ian, but I'm going to play a little bit of it to talk about this particular subject.
I don't know. But y'all need to be honest about that.
Go under the knife unnecessarily.
I don't know. It doesn't feel right.
And you ain't married her yet. You don't give a shit about her and you don't care about them kids.
I do not.
What, man? On everything I love, what nigga gonna let his kid's mama go under the knife unnecessarily? Surgery. luxury is a serious issue.
What if he?
My wife, my wife had a minor surgery, bro. Very minor, very minor. I was stressed the fuck out. Like, are you sure they gotta do this? Can they give you pills? Can they? It's like when it's your wife and you thinking about your kids and you thinking about if something happened. You know she ain't going to the doctor like she's supposed to because she had an underlying heart condition that a regular, you know, they know it. They know it.
You gotta know. Yeah.
You now are like,
ladies, he said your body is taking hits. Men don't want to acknowledge that, but they want us to acknowledge how they supposed to put their body on the line to protect us. Okay, well, you want us to put our bodies on the line to produce these children. So my body's taking hits. Your body may never a hit. Like, let's be for real. Your body may never take a hit. It may, but it may never. So let's be for real here. But listen to what this man is saying, because women, I feel like modern women, we've given away kids like it's nothing. Like, we have watered down childbirth. It is a sacrifice. You lose blood when you give birth. It is a sacrifice every single time. Then we can get into how your body changes. It doesn't look the same. It takes forever for you to get back in your mindset that you were in prior to conceiving and carrying and all of that. It takes a lot out of you. So it should be a privilege for a man to get a baby. It shouldn't just be a, oh, it's whatever. No, it's not whatever. It's not whatever. You should never put your life on the line to give a man kids and he hasn't done right by you. He has to do right by you first. He has to show you that he's worth doing that for. Because not every man out here is worth doing that for.
Okay. Now, the show she had on the Viral Way podcast. She was playing in the background with the man talking. And this is Real Talk with Annie. Y'all can see the whole show about Jackie O lays to rest. And she kind of really gave her breakdown after the funeral and stuff like this. But I thought it was interesting because the man was talking about, he was saying, you know, basically he was kind of criticizing, what's his name? What's the man's name? The comedian that she was dating or whatever and saying, you know, like, you know, women be out here getting their bodies done for these dudes because they worried about these dudes being on the road scoring other chicks and stuff like that. And, you know, she was just breaking down how it is real pressure for women. I really loved her show, was really good. She was saying how it's real pressure for women to trying to look their best and trying to be their best and everything, trying to keep these men and stuff like that. But also because they have given birth to men who basically, she was saying in a nice way, are not your spouses. Okay. And it creates a situation where you just having to run and get work done and stuff because you're trying to keep up with this Negro and all this stuff. And, it, you know, I'm not saying that's what was going on with Jackie O, but I found the conversation rather interesting. And I love the way she talks about it and hits it. Y'all need to check her out, Real Talk with Yanny. She does a really good job of hitting that subject. And I thought it was really good what she had to say about the pressures for women in older and younger to keep up, to look good, to lose weight, to be perfect, you know. And she was even talking about your boobies, you know. People, she said a great thing on it. She's talking about, you know, if people be, you know, wanting, you know, she said, you know, perky boobies and stuff from people because of these, all these women, you know, going to get work and stuff. And she said, real boobs don't do that. If you got real big boobs in real life, let me tell you, okay, I got real big, I got nice boobs, but they, you know, they don't sit. I'm an older woman, okay, so they don't sit pretty. They never did though, because I got real boobs. Okay, they always been a little, because they big. So unless you go get a lift or something like that, she was just talking about this pressure to be perfect into looking and stuff. And I just thought her show was really good, and the subject was really, she did the subject really good and tasteful. She talked about men, women, not just giving away children out here and really perceiving, I mean, it's the children are supposed to be an even exchange in a certain situation, an exchange when it comes, if you, not everybody who's married has children, but that sometimes, in most cases, sometimes people have children through marriage, okay? And that's it. So she has a really good interest. She's not just talking about marriage, but she's just having a great conversation about this whole thing. And y'all check her out. I thought the show was really interesting and really good. Shout out to her, Real Talk with Nanny, okay? I don't know her or nothing like that, so I'm just telling y'all it was a good show, okay? All right, Tara. Okay, what else is what's our last story going to be now? I think it's going to be our last one for tonight. Okay, Marcus, who's having a podcast? I don't know if you want to talk about Taylor Swift's daddy making money out that catalog that Taylor Swift. Remember Taylor Swift was doing all that crying about the catalog, talking about she's going to remake songs and stuff like that? Well, come to find out, they think that Taylor Swift, people allegedly might think that she may have known about the catalog because her father, they said, made $15 million in allegedly off the music catalog sale to Scooter Braun. So people are saying, hey, you know, Taylor Swift's career, in my opinion, and this is no offense to Taylor. I like Taylor. I know y'all Swifties is about to be mad at me. But part of Taylor Swift's ascent, I mean, she was already starting to get big. Part of her ascent was the victimization of her, what happened with Kanye. And ever since then, she went through the roof, okay? And so it wasn't surprising to me that she even took on the victimization role of, I'm getting done wrong out here, playing my catalog, I'm going to remake my songs all over, and all this stuff. But come to find out, allegedly, her daddy's out here making money. Now, they said Taylor Swift's dad had no knowledge prior to making $15 million in her catalog sale, okay? Taylor Swift's music catalog sale, this is from ET News, is the spotlight once again at the Music Business Worldwide Publisher Report claiming that Taylor's dad, Scott Swift, made $15 million on the highest publicized sale of her music catalog to Scooter Braun. A source tells ET that the elder Swift was unaware of the planned action despite any profit he made from it. A source close to the negotiation tells ET that the drama began 48 hours before Scooter's purchase of Scott Borchetta's Big Machine label group was made public in 2019. The source notes that since Scott Borchetta controlled 90% of the stock, the sale, which reportedly rang in at $300 million, was a foregone conclusion. The source tells ET that Taylor's dad didn't have knowledge of the deal before it happened and intentionally skipped a private NDA phone call about a potential deal so that he didn't have to withhold anything from Taylor. Taylor reps reiterate as much, telling ET there was a shareholder phone call that Scott did not participate in due to very strict NDA that bound all shareholders from prohibiting any discussion at all without risk of severe penalty. Her dad did not join the call because he did not want to be required to withhold any information from his own daughter, okay? Since the news of the deal broke, Taylor has blasphemed, claiming that she wasn't told about Scooter's purchase before it became public and was never given a chance to buy her music, an allegation that Scott Borchetta has denied. Taylor has long stuck to her story, okay? And now her reps tell E.T. Taylor found out from the news articles that when she woke up before seeing any text from Scott Borchetta, and he did not call her in advance. In the wake of the drama, Taylor announced that she would record her first six albums in an effort to own her own music. She essentially released Taylor's version of Fearless and Red and is set to put out the version of Speak Now on July 7th. Okay. Oh, I don't believe you. I believe. I'm going to just tell y'all, you know, just my personal opinion, okay? I don't know if I believe that. I believe they kind of had some knowledge of what was getting ready to go down. Maybe she couldn't afford to buy her music at that time. Maybe that's the real truth down these streets, okay? I don't know. I know I just don't believe it, okay? That's all I got to say about Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is just an interesting thing to me. So, y'all know how I am about out here about that. I don't know. It's a lot of stuff with that, okay? So, yeah. But, interesting. Father made a lot of money, okay? Did he get the money back? Are you mad? No, probably not. I guess you say, I'm going to make some money off of it. So what do you think I'm supposed to do? But, yeah, interesting, okay? I thought that was going to be our last story, but is this the last one? I think I only got a few minutes left. Okay, what are we talking about real quick? Okay, So I may try to come on and do a second show this week, y'all. I don't know. I've been trying to go into the new platform and practice on it and get used to it. There's a different platform. I'm still going to be doing Blog Talk, but it's another platform I'm trying to get used to. And when I'm ready to do the first show, it's probably going to be scraggly. But y'all have fun with it. It'll be good, and hopefully y'all like it and enjoy it when I'm ready to do it. It has not happened. I haven't done it yet because I'm just still trying to figure out all the stuff that goes on this platform, okay, because it's very different from me. And so, yeah, just pray for me and hope I get it done, okay, because y'all know I got so much going on. Yeah, okay, I just got wrapped up my little trip to Vegas. Nothing. Carlotta, you want to see Maxwell? I'm going to see Maxwell at the time and go see Beyonce. I'm like, child, okay, it's a lot. That's all I can do this summer. Maybe I can do some more. Who knows? You know, I might go catch another show from somebody else. I don't know. But, yeah, okay. So I was like, oh, my goodness. So I'm trying to get, you know, merge my little trip to Vegas, you know, because it's my little annual Maxwell trip. Not doing meet and greet. Let me tell y'all why I'm not. Okay, I might change my mind about meet and greet. I have not decided yet, but I cannot do meet and greet when I see Classic. You know, because I don't know. That Classic made me mad the last time. So, I mean, I was nice about it. He was nice and everything, but I was, but, you know, I don't want to piss in all that kind of money. And I'll be seeing Classic. I'll be like, this time I'll be like, I'd just be like, rather just go see the show. I ain't paying for no more plastic happening for me, okay? Meet and greet. Somebody asked me about doing a meet and greet with Beyonce. No, child, y'all crazy. Y'all think I'm going to pay some money. 15. What's Beyonce's meet and greet? About $3,000 or something? I don't even know. Does she still do them? Child, ain't no way in hell I'd be a meet and greet for Beyonce, okay? On that note, y'all, we are at the end of the show. Listen, I hope y'all have a wonderful, wonderful week, rest of y'all week. I hope y'all enjoyed y'all Juneteenth. We leaving out of here with one of my favorites, old school, After the Party, Kasi Brown. I will see y'all. Have a good one. Bye.
And you don't stop. Keep it on. Keep it on. Keep it on. You don't stop. Keep it on. Keep it on. Where the party at?
After the party.
Archive listeners for hanging out with me like you do every week. I appreciate y'all so much. I don't know, really, seriously. I really do. Thank y'all for support. Thank y'all for listening to the show. And I hope y'all be excited about, hopefully, whenever I get together the new platform. I've been asking for it for a minute, so hopefully it goes well, okay? All right, so remember you can hit me up on the Carlotta Chatwood Facebook page, okay? And you can also hit me up on Twitter on Carlotta72. That's just a channel I have, a second channel I have, but it's the main one, the C Chatwood Show channel. You can also hit me up on Instagram at Carly_Galaxy, okay? All right, you guys. And yes, I do answer most of the times, not all the time, okay? I will answer your DM me if any stuff. I do answer the DMs. I do answer, not trying to be talking foolish, but I will answer, you know, DM questions about the show or if you got questions about it or something like that. Definitely, you're welcome to hit me up. Some of y'all just hit me up sometime on Facebook, on the Facebook page to say hello. I mean, I had a person the other week hit me up and they was telling me they were ready to do a show and podcast and they asked me my advice about stuff and everything like that. It's very cool, mad cool. A couple few weeks ago, mad cool, stuff like that. So y'all hit me up. Y'all be hitting me up with all kind of stuff. So I appreciate it, okay? So you feel free. As long as it's not something stupid, something, you know, feel free to, if you have questions about the show or just, you know, questions in general, you can do it on Instagram or you can do it on the Facebook page, okay? All right, y'all, I am out. Let's leave out with you, Mary Quiet, one of my favorite songs. Child, we living in these kind of times, okay? Too young to die. I'm out. See y'all. Bye.
Politicians, at this time, I think you better keep your...